Good Wednesday morning. Welcome into Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio. Nice morning we've got going. It's partly cloudy, 58 degrees at our WDAY Radio studios, high atop I-29 in South Fargo. Winds out of the west-northwest, 5 miles an hour. We are looking for partly to mostly sunny skies today. Chance of showers and thunderstorms late in the day, evening time. 84 for our high temp. Winds out of the west-southwest, 5 to 15. And if we do see that shower and thunder shower activity, there's just a 30% chance of that. And again, it would come late tonight. Candlelight vigils in remembrance of Minnesota Representative Melissa Hortman and her husband Mark are scheduled across the state. They were killed in what prosecutors call a politically targeted shooting at their Brooklyn Park home. Vigils organized by county DFL units are scheduled for tonight in Moorhead, Crookston, Alexandria, and at the state capitol. You're asked to bring your own candle, but do not bring any signs if you attend. We have a list of vigil times and locations on our website. President Trump says he has no plans to call Governor Walz after that deadly shooting. On his way back from the G7 summit in Canada, Trump told reporters, "I think the governor of Minnesota is so whacked out, I am not calling him. Why would I call him?" Trump went on to say the guy doesn't have a clue. He's a mess. Vance Bolter is accused of assassinating State Representative Melissa Hortman and her husband, as well as shooting State Senator John Hoffman and his wife. He's facing federal and state charges and could face the death penalty if he is convicted. A business owner in Missouri says he's being targeted after the man gunned down that Minnesota lawmaker and her husband. Jamal Dunn says a case of mistaken identity has led to his harassment. He says his security company, Praetorian Guard Services, shares a similar name with a business that employed shooting suspect Vance Bolter. Dunn says his phone has been blowing up with hateful messages. A Williston man is headed to prison for attempted murder. 27-year-old Jordan Griffith was arrested for shooting a man in the face last year. Prosecutors argued the incident was sparked by text messages between the victim and Griffith's girlfriend. Griffith pleaded guilty and was sentenced to life in prison with a chance for parole. A Minot woman is facing child endangerment charges. Brenna Jones is accused of exposing her 4-month-old to methamphetamine. Ward County Social Services requested a hair follicle test that came back positive for the drug. Test results also showed Jones tested positive for meth. North Dakota has its first confirmed tornado of the year. The National Weather Service says a small twister touched down near Regent in southwestern North Dakota. There were no damages or injuries. North Dakota Game and Fish has a new deputy director. Casey Anderson has served with the department for 2 decades, including the last 4 as Wildlife Division Chief. He replaces former director Scott Peterson. And a new place to play pickleball is up and running in Moorhead. Kelly Lancaster is Chief Operating Officer for Courts and Pints. It's a 60,000-square-foot facility off 8th Street. It also features 8 beanbag lanes for cornhole. Optimist All-Star Volleyball Team Blue pulled the reverse sweep on Team Red 3-2. South Prairie's Max Zaya Trader powered Team Blue with 15 kills. Minnesota Twins gave up 4 runs in the 4th inning of a 6-5 loss to the Cincinnati Reds last night. The Twins have now lost 5 straight games. 6 pitchers recorded an out in the loss. Harrison Bader hit a 3-run homer while Byron Buxton got a solo shot. Trevor Larnach also drove in a run in the game. Twins and Reds continue their series tonight. First pitch set for 6:10. Bailey Ober gets the nod for Minnesota while Cincinnati counters with Nick Lodolo. Fargo Moorhead Redhawks gave up 6 runs over 2 innings in a 7-5 loss to the Sioux City Explorers. Orlando Rodriguez gave up 6 runs over 4 innings and was tagged with a loss. Redhawks bullpen only gave up 1 run over 5 innings of work. The Redhawks and Explorers continue their series tonight. First pitch scheduled for 7:02. Jace Denman has arrived. Were you watching hockey last night? The Stanley Cup was decided, right?
I watched a little bit.
You didn't go the distance?
No, as soon as I saw Florida scored first, I was like, okay.
Okay, I'm done.
Pretty much. Unfortunately, I was watching part of your favorite WNBA team last night.
Yeah, you can have that.
What, you don't like Caitlin Clark anymore?
Oh, you were watching. I thought you were watching the Lynx. No,
because
I do like Caitlin Clark.
No, because
I
don't
follow the Lynx, though.
No, because I know who your favorite team is.
It is.
Just following one player, like a LeBron James fan.
She's,
you know,
good,
that?
Though. Yeah, well, okay, that's fine.
Yeah, there was. That's the funny thing is I turned it on and there was a little skirmish because Caitlin got poked in the eye. She turned, said something to the girl that fouled her. She said something back. And then all of a sudden, one of the other players came over and shoved Caitlin down. And there was a flagrant foul and a couple of technicals, et cetera, et cetera. Took them forever to figure it out. And then Indiana was up by the half. And then I think it was about time for bed. So I didn't watch the whole thing. Let's see. Men's World Series, College World Series today. I know yesterday, excuse me. Loser out games. Louisville beat Oregon State 7-6. They stay alive. Arkansas beat UCLA 7-3. I believe that should put Oregon State and UCLA, both ranked teams, by the way, they are out of the tournament now. Today, in what basically is Louisville and Arkansas have to win to stay alive. Otherwise, Coastal Carolina and LSU will go to the College World Series final. So Coastal Carolina, the 13th ranked team in the nation, takes on Louisville at 1 p.m. Number 6 ranked LSU takes on number 3 Arkansas at 6 p.m. Coastal Carolina, as I said, if they win, they go to the championship series. If Louisville, and then if Louisville obviously loses that contest, they're eliminated. But if they win, there'll be an elimination game on Thursday. Same with Arkansas and LSU. LSU wins, they go to the championship. Arkansas would be eliminated, but if Arkansas wins, there's an elimination game on Thursday. A dominant second half powered the Lynx. You already do that one or not?
Nope, I did not.
They beat the Las Vegas Aces 76-62 on Tuesday night. I had checked the score early, and they were down. That game wasn't on. I mean, I guess maybe it was on FanDuel Sports North, but I didn't go to that app. I was on YouTube TV. So I checked the score. They were getting beat at the time, but they came back. Courtney Williams led the Lynx with 20 points. Diamond Miller and Natasha Heidman each added 12 points off the bench. Alana Smith had a double-double with 10 points and 13 rebounds. Lynx now host the Los Angeles Sparks on Saturday. Tip-off scheduled for 7 p.m. and game coverage available nationally on NBA TV. As I mentioned, Stanley Cup Finals, Panthers won the series 4-2. They beat the Oilers 5-1. They repeat as Stanley Cup champions. Whoop-de-doo. My daughter was less than thrilled. She was like, really? Boo. Sam Reinhart scored 4 goals for Florida, so he seemed to be a problem.
Wow.
NBA playoffs, so the NBA Finals are the only thing that's left. Their next game, Game 6, is Thursday night as the Thunder lead that series 3-2. Indiana needs to win to continue and force a Game 7. Tip-off approximately 7:30 p.m. with game coverage on ABC. That is Thursday night, tomorrow night, and tonight. You can stay tuned right here on WDAY for primetime sports, 6:30 to 7 p.m. with Big Game James McCarty and myself.
All right, partly to mostly sunny today. There's a chance, a 30% chance, we could see showers or thunderstorms. If we see those will be late in the day. 84 for our high temp with winds west-southwest 5 to 15. Tomorrow, partly to mostly sunny, chance of evening thunderstorms again, 85 for the high, southeast winds 5 to 10, 64 the overnight low. Friday, partly to mostly cloudy, chance of a stray thunderstorm late, 88 for the high. And Saturday, Sunday, partly to mostly sunny with highs in the 90s. Partly cloudy right now, we have 58 degrees at our WDAY radio studios, high top I-29 in South Fargo, winds out of the west-northwest 5 miles an hour. It is 5:09, we are going to get your ABC News in now, and then a song of the morn and question of the morn coming up. And 'tis the time of year for all sorts of fun stuff, barbecues, baseball, parades, concerts, you name it.
Fireworks.
Yeah, all sorts of stuff. Coming up next weekend down in McLeod, North Dakota, it's the McLeod Stampede. 2 hours of action-packed rodeo entertainment. They know how to do it up right. It's a half mile north of McLeod, North Dakota. They do mutton busting for the kids. That's absolutely adorable. Of course, face painting. You got to keep the littles busy.
Yeah. NDRA Eastern Edge Rodeo Circuit. $10,000 in prize money for the Cowboys, produced by Abrahamson Rodeo Company. They've got a chair auction, a bullfighter jersey auction. They've got a cash-only bar, concession stand, gate prizes. Friday night is Veterans Night. That'll be next weekend, June 27th and 28th. Starts at 7 p.m., half mile north of McLeod, North Dakota, the McLeod Stampede.
Yeah, go to their Facebook page, McLeod Stampede, for more information. Question of the morning here on Bonnie and Friends. What kind of candy or candy bar best describes you or your life? Like to hear these comments. 701-293-9000. Email studio at wdayradionow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. 520 Wednesday morning. Welcome into Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio. If you liked what we saw yesterday in terms of sunshine and temperature-wise, you'll like today as well. 84 for our high temp. There's a slight chance, 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms, but those would be late in the day if we had them. I was out just golfing like a short nine hole. And I was like, yeah, I thought it was hot yesterday.
Mm-hmm. It was hot.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I'm not denying
And then I'm talking to Greg in our sales department. He's all excited because it's going to be in the mid to upper 80s. And he's like, I love that weather. So does Dean in the 90s. And it's just like, ugh.
Yeah, I would rather not be that warm. I know my oldest was out for a walk yesterday, and she got fairly hot yesterday. And, you know, she put in a good couple of miles, and she was just like, it's hot. Can I get a gonna ride back? And so I swung by and picked her up when I was done with the oil change. But, yeah, it's hot enough where you might think, like, you first go outside, oh, it's not that bad. I can go for a walk, whatever. And it's like, well, it's a little bit warmer than I thought.
Yeah, if you're doing activities, put it that way. And yeah. I know it wasn't me because Logan and some guy that we got partnered up with, we were all golfing. It was just at El Zagel, so it was super easy. But we're all like, it's hot out here.
I know. And then I'm just like thinking to Saturday when we're in Mayville, it's going to be 88 degrees. And I don't know.
Oh, I forgot the neck fan.
Yeah.
Remind me about
that. That's all right. And then I don't know what the humidity is going to be, but I already know.
I have a feeling humidity is going to be here.
I'm going to be sweating. That's all I know. Yeah. Good thing I got my clip-on fan, so I got that for me.
Some people like to sweat. Not me.
I only don't mind sweating if I'm doing something intentionally. Like, I've changed my clothes, I'm going to go out and mow the lawn. I've changed my clothes, and I'm going to go to the gym, or I'm going to be outside, I'm going to go walk, and I'm anticipating I'm going to sweat. So I know that it's coming. But if I'm just trying to walk, you know, around the park, you know, with the dog, and it's supposed to be nice out, I don't want to necessarily be out there sweating. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I hear you. Or if you just, you're trying to do a quick errand or walk. Yeah. And then you've got to go somewhere, and it's just like, and then you're all hot and sweaty.
Yeah.
But for those of you that like the heat, you'll be liking the rest of the week here. Highs in the mid-80s as we get to Friday, close to 90, and in the 90s for Saturday and Sunday. Brian Kronk, managing partner of Collins & Kronk, will be joining us coming up right around 7:45 this morning with a market update and insight. That was fun chatting with him and finding out what's going on in the markets as well as how things that are happening, you know, we got the war going on, how that affects our markets right here at home, housing stats, you know, how that unemployment, how that all affects the market. So it's always good to chat with Brian. We're going to get another one of you qualified for the great grocery giveaway. Be listening in the 7 o'clock hour for your name to be called. Then you have 9 minutes, 70 seconds or 10 minutes, 10 seconds to call. And if you do, you will be entered into our competition to win $10,000 in groceries brought to you by Allsager Meats and Kingpins. And if you get qualified, make sure you show up at Kingpins for our grand prize giveaway party on Thursday, July 10th. I did look at the score sheet. It looked like everybody got qualified yesterday and the day before.
And
all throughout the day. So yay to...
Yeah.
People listening and calling in.
Yeah, we're two for two this week. So, you know.
And listen for your friends or family if you hear their name too, because, I mean, I get it. You have to sleep.
But,
you have to work. You might not be able to listen all the time. So
but
listen
if
for
you
somebody
tell them,
you know and let them
if
know.
If you tell them and they had no idea, make sure you get a percentage of that groceries for the year
at
if they win.
At least a can
them.
Of pork and beans off them or something.
Oh,
like
you got to set the bar higher than that, Bonnie. Come on now.
Question of the morning here on Bonnie and Friends. What kind of candy or candy bar best describes you or your life? This could be a fun one. 701-293-9000. Email studio at wdayradionow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. Roger, Roger, Roger. He said if you took a chunky bar, melted it, and it became a hot mess, that's him. I had a feeling this question would be kind of fun.
Yeah.
Rocky road, rough relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Dave in Grand Rapids, good morning. He says, whatchamacallit? Maybe he's got like some memory things or sometimes you forget. I have a bad habit like when I'm busy, like I'll call one of the kids like the microwave or put that in the dishwasher and I mean microwave or vice versa. Do you ever do that? Like you call it, cause just because you're not even thinking about it, you just say it, and it's just like a random appliance or something that comes out.
What, but I mean, sometimes I just use whatchamacallit on purpose just because I don't know what to call the thing.
Or just not coming to the top of your
mind. Yeah, you're just like the whatchamacallit, the thingamajig.
Whatchamacallit. Those are good.
They are. I haven't had one in a while, though.
Did they, when they first came out, not have caramel in them? Because they've got a little bit of caramel in them now, and they have for a long time.
I want to say that they always have, but I don't.
Did they?
I don't know.
I remember when they first came out when I was probably a teenager. I didn't think they had caramel, and I loved
it. I was probably too young to have candy then.
Probably. And you're just a caramel freak anyway. I don't like
caramel.
It's fine. It's just not like something I have to have.
You got it. I mean, it's so good. It's so good.
All the brainiac smarties. Yeah, that's not me.
Sometimes I would assume that probably a perfect candy for me would be that one zero.
You're just a dud?
Yeah, maybe.
Or a milk dud.
Milk duds, Laffy Taffy, cowtails.
How would you be a cowtail?
I'm just swatting like flies. I'm just swatting
your tail.
I'm just swatting flies and staying around.
Lisa said, "Whatchamacallit too." See, Dave, you're not alone in the whatchamacallit. Jane says, "Almond Joy."
Sometimes I would say Butterfinger.
Oh, drop things.
Definitely.
Yeah, I get that. What would you call me because I trip going up the steps, not down? Going
clumsy.
Up clumsy. Is there a clumsy candy?
No.
Butterfinger.
That's what I just said. But I thank you.
No, I know, but that would probably fit the bill, right?
Yeah,
I can't think
maybe.
Of what else. Snickers. Is there a crackle cackle?
There is a crackle. There's a crackle bar.
Would that fit my cackle?
Maybe.
What candy or candy bar best describes you or your life? 701-293-9000. Email studio at WDAYradionow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. Good morning, friend. Who's this?
This is Arland.
Hi, Arland. How are you this morning?
Oh, not too bad. I'm at work, and I'm going to help my fellow coworkers load up trucks, and then I'm going to take vacation for the next 3 days.
Ooh, do you have anything fun planned?
I got to take my wife to her doctor's appointment today, and then the next 2 days, let's see, Thursday, I don't know what I'm going to do. Friday, I'm going to take off and go see some high school friends I haven't seen in over 40 years.
Oh,
so.
My goodness.
Yeah.
Do you have
to go to the Wells County Fair in Fresno, North Dakota?
Oh, there you go. And that's where you'll find the old friends?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Oh, is that back home for you?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Oh, that sounds like fun. I think last time you were supposed to be off, didn't you go into work and help them?
Yep.
Well, do you know how to relax? I hope you know how to relax, Arlen.
That's the way I relax.
See?
Well, that's true. Some of us really do like our jobs. There's, you know, and that's okay too. But I'm glad you're taking at least a few days off to do some things.
Yeah, I grew up on a farm, so there's no rest for the wicked. So.
Yeah, totally get it. My dad, he was an old farm boy, and he worked all of us. You know, we raised small animals and stuff, and we had a big greenhouse and a garden. So that's all I know is hard work. That's what my dad. That's how we raised all of us.
Yeah, and I was in Bismarck last weekend, and my mom and dad celebrated 70 years of marriage.
Oh, congratulations
and
to
my
them.
Mom, yeah, my mom turned 93, and today's my dad's 93rd birthday.
Wow.
That is
good
awesome. Well, happy birthday to your dad. What's his name?
Alan.
Does he listen to us, or maybe he can't get us? And do they? Well, they can listen on the computer.
Always worried about if people are listening to us, Bonnie.
I hope he has
They were both born the same year, the same month, but 3 days apart.
Oh, wow. Look at that. That was destiny there. Well, tell him happy birthday from us, too. That's awesome. So you're enjoying your parents into their 90s, same as me. And it's like, I'm sure you know, too, we're blessed to have our parents still in our lives at this stage.
Oh, yeah. Yep, that's true.
Yeah. Well, what kind of candy or candy bar best describes you or your life, Arlen?
Well, I got two of them.
Okay.
Okay, you got Almond Joy and Mounds.
Sometimes you feel like
a nut.
Sometimes
you don't.
Yep, exactly.
That's true.
Exactly where you're going with that one, Arlen.
I think that's true for a lot of us. I love it. Well, Arlen, thanks for listening and calling in, and you have a fantastic couple of days off, okay?
All right, I will. Thank you.
You bet. You take care. Great hearing your voice. We love to hear from you guys. You make our morning. What kind of candy or candy bar best describes you or your life? That's our question of the morn, 701-293-9000. Email studio at WDAYradionow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page.
So, I mean, there's Crackle, but since you were talking about falling up the stairs, what about the Nestle Crunch Bar?
You're crunchy?
Well, you fall down.
I think crunchy in kids' lingo is not a good thing if you're crunchy.
We're talking about candy bars,
though. How do you figure Nestle Crunch falling down?
Because sometimes when you're older and you fall down, things go crunch, Bonnie.
Okay, well, you had to explain it.
It's like I got to explain everything to you.
Doug thinks just like Arlen. He said the same thing. Almond Joy, sometimes you feel like a nut, sometimes you don't. Trevor says salted nut roll because he's real nutty.
Sometimes he's a bit salty as well.
No, I'm the salt. I'm the salty one. I like, there you go, salted nut roll. That would fit me too, right?
Mm-hmm.
701-293-9000, email studio at WDAYradionow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. Go to the phone lines, find our friend Polly in Idaho. Good morning to you, Polly.
Good morning.
All right. What kind of candy? We are doing good. What kind of candy or candy bar best describes you or your life?
Oh, gosh, I would have to say a payday. That used to be my favorite candy bar. But it's not, I don't know, it was a salted nut roll, so it wasn't really a candy bar.
Yeah, that's a beloved favorite here. Those are made in Minnesota, Pearson Nut Company. Those are really good. But payday, because you're loaded or what?
No, he's always waiting for payday.
Yeah.
That would have been mine when my kids were still on the payroll. They thought I was loaded. So yeah, payday parents when you have to pay for everything for your kids growing up.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Polly, have yourself a nice day.
You too.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you. Whatever pops into Bonnie's little head is what we roll with. I don't know.
That was a good response. Thank you.
Do you guys want in and what's rattling around
up there? No, no. Please, nobody ask. No.
It's a process. Not much of one. It's like, oh, that'll make a good question today. And then I write it down. What kind of candy or candy bar best describes you or your life? 701-293-9000. You can email us at studio at WDAYradionow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. Lundman says he went and checked out the new Island Park pool yesterday. Yeah. He thinks it's time for a challenge. We should challenge JT, which I think means Jay Thomas, to go down the slide that shoots you out over the deep end of the diving area. Mm-hmm. Make sure you film it too, of course.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah, I have seen pictures. He said check it out. You can check it out on the website and Facebook. I have seen pictures, and it is absolutely fantastic. So shutting that down for a couple of years while they renovated and redid. I mean, that's going to be there for a long time to come.
Yeah, I don't think they didn't have a slide there before.
No.
I mean, they had, I thought it was just a pool, and they had the other end where I had the lap swim.
Where the lifeguard sat up on, say, like the north side? Was I don't remember if there was a...
There was the lap swim area along with the diving platforms or whatever, and then they had... I thought it was a normal pool. Now they've got a lazy river. They've got water slides, you know, more of a kid's little area. Yeah. So
it's spectacular. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I haven't been there in forever either. So. Yeah. 701-293-9000. Good morning, friend. Who's this?
Sandy. Hi, Bonnie, I'm so sorry about that. I don't mean to do that.
I know, it's okay.
You would be the one to discipline me to the end. But late 90s, true story, and I'm not proud of it. I didn't do it, though. But one of my best buddies, he got back for a couple of years, and he literally did the Caddyshack Milky Way bar
in a pool.
I'm not gonna name the hotel. I know the statute But their reaction was better in the movie. And, just as long as nobody does it again. But
yeah.
Funniest thing I ever saw.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah. Well, you take care.
Take care. So nice that your comrade's doing great.
Yes.
He sounds better by the week. So.
Yes, he certainly does. And thank you for calling in, and thank you for listening. We appreciate it.
Yeah, God bless you guys.
You too. You have an awesome day. Our question of the morn, what kind of candy or candy bar best describes you or your life? 701-293-9000. Email studio at wdayradionow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. Right now, your national news and sports from ABC. Get down. We'll boogie with you. Thanks for hanging out with us, Bonnie
You're
and
welcome.
Friends, WDAY Radio. You have to be here. Well, you don't.
Oh, I do?
I mean, yeah. No,
I thought this was optional. I thought I was doing you a favor.
You are. And I like that you come in and you get to hang out with me. I like that you
sometimes you like when I come in.
I like that you unretired to hang out with me.
I mean, I had a week off, so that was a long retirement for me.
And as Kevin just said, it's nice to hear you making progress and getting better every day, every week, every month.
I can only make so much progress, Bonnie. I mean, I'm just going to table
great.
That. I'm going to table that progress for a little while.
You just need to keep on keeping on, as the old saying used to go.
Yeah. I think we mentioned it like last week or whatever. I mean, the last appointment went very well, and everything's hunky-dory.
But that's good, and that's important, mm-hmm. and that's why it's so critical that they continue to do these appointments with you.
And the next appointment won't be till like September, and then the big one will be the year appointment, which probably will get pushed back due to Thanksgiving. We'll probably be first week or so of
December.
You don't
want to spend another Thanksgiving in the hospital.
No, I just know that the next appointment that ends up happening in December, I will be... I mean, that's going to be an all-day thing. So,
but hitting that one-year mark mm-hmm. is going to be big.
It
big,
is.
Big,
I mean, big. Just for simple things like now at the one-year point, the doctors say, yeah, it's okay for you to fly internationally. They say it's okay if you need some type of elective surgery, which I've got a bum knee, which I think has been needing to be cleaned out due to the injury.
A little bit this past
Yeah, trying to work out with a bad knee, that's a whole other pain in the butt type of situation. So there's other things that you can kind of do. You know, you're more likely the doctor's gonna be like, yeah, that's sure, that's fine, you know, at that point in time. So I don't know. I didn't ask him though.
Oh, what do you need to know?
I just thought of this the other day. I didn't ask him since like I had asked him about having a cocktail, right?
Yes.
Or an adult beverage.
Yes.
And I was like, is this like a once a week thing? Is it once a month, once a week? And he's like, oh no, you can have one like once a week. I'm like, oh, okay, that, and of course, people may go, well, what's the big deal?
Medications.
Medications, number one, but 52 is a lot bigger number than one. And when you look at the whole year-long saga, okay?
Like, you can drink 52 beers.
Over the course of a year? Yeah, absolutely.
No, I meant at one time.
Well, there was a 4th of July. Never mind. That was me and my dad. I don't want to get into that right now. So my question that I just thought of recently is like, so when I first got out of the hospital, two things I couldn't really do. It wasn't recommended going to buffets unless you're there when they first put the food out.
Oh yeah.
Because of, you know, bacteria, you know, catching something from somebody else or undercooked food,
right,
etc.
Right.
So I kind of wondering about that, but I'm really curious now that I've passed the 6 month part and they say, you know, I can have a drink a week, you know, I can fly domestically, yada yada. Mm-hmm. I'm like, is there any chance I can go back to having sushi?
Oh, yeah.
See, I'm a sushi fan. Me and my wife and even my girls, we all like sushi. So,
can't
I mean,
you eat the cooked crab and shrimp and that make you happy? You just want to go big and
I want to have like the spicy tuna.
Like the raw stuff.
Yeah. I mean, it's raw, but at the same time, and we got smoked salmon. I mean, the eel is barbecued.
I bet not.
Tuna.
I bet you probably need to avoid that maybe.
Probably. I need
the cooked stuff.
I know.
I'll only eat the cooked stuff. I won't eat anything
I mean,
else.
I have to give a shout out to Izumi. I haven't, I mean, other people may have had different experiences, but the two locations they have.
Is there two locations?
Yeah, there's one off of Veterans is the first one. The other one's off of 13th.
Oh, I didn't realize they had a second location.
Okay. The 13th Avenue one was funny because we went there one winter and their heat had basically kind of gone out. So it wasn't very warm in this. We had to sit there with our coats on, but you know, we still got great service and good sushi, so I can't complain.
My son-in-law Milos loves Izumi.
Yeah, so I haven't been there in a while, and that's usually a place that we like to go to, like you know, maybe on some type of special occasion, like a Father's Day or a birthday meal or something like that. You know, and I always make sure I get my money's worth because it costs like $28 a head. Well, it might be more now, but.
Well, pester your patient rep. Like, hey, I really want to eat sushi. Can I eat it?
Well, I mean, I just, like I said, the buffet thing and the sushi thing, because I know that the sushi is made fresh right there in front of you. And obviously, if your sushi smells pretty fishy, that probably means it's not good. Mm-hmm. So make sure it doesn't technically smell. Mm-hmm. So I just have to ask about that because I just thought of that like yesterday, and I'm like, oh, I should have asked about that.
Ask if you can go skydiving yet.
I know you want to. I'm not going to ask about that one.
Maybe wait until you get past the year.
I will probably wait till I get past the year. I'm hoping maybe next spring because I know my next door neighbor. I got a chance to talk with him, and I think he's even moved up. I think he's getting his pilot's license so he can fly on a little Cessna or whatever. But he is a licensed skydiver. So, so I've always had that on my bucket list.
I know you want to do that, yeah.
Somebody in my house, hopefully they're not listening right now, would be firmly against that, which hopefully my phone doesn't buzz.
YOLO.
You're not going to do that. You've already died once.
You probably won't die doing it. I mean, it's a possibility, but you probably won't.
You sound so confident. You probably won't die doing it.
Well, do you know how many people skydive safely? I mean, I mean, things can go wrong riding in your car, walking
across the street. You never know,
You can't live in fear either. No. And if that's something you really want to do, then you should do it. But probably not yet. Ask the doctor
probably
first.
Not.
Question of the morning here on Bonnie and Friends. What kind of candy or candy bar best describes you or your life? Phone lines are always open, 701-293-9000. Email studio at wdayradionow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. Justine says Laffy Taffy. She likes to have a good laugh. I like that.
How about Nutrageous?
What's that? That's not a thing. Is that? Is that a candy bar?
Yeah, I've got a list of candy bars right here.
I've never heard Nutrageous. Have you had one before?
I think so. I think it might be from Reese's. It's like
Nutrageous.
It may be similar to maybe, I want to say it's similar to like maybe a Payday type of bar.
Oh, I've seen that before. So it's kind of, it's like a Reese's peanut butter.
Nougat-y, and then it's got peanut butter?
I don't know. It's got something in it. I think my husband's bought those before. I've never had them.
How about this one? And now granted, this is a drink. Hugs.
Those little
those little flavored drinks that the kids always like.
Do they still make those?
I think. Well, they made them when my girls were little.
You know,
and that
how,
was
like
maybe
your kids
a decade
get old
ago.
And it's something you don't look for. Mm-hmm. Mine had, and it was only on trips. I'd buy it only because it had like a pull top.
Mm-hmm.
You know, bug juice.
Yeah.
Which is basically. Now they're talking about doing away with dyes. So those colored drinks like that.
Well, they don't need to be colored technically. Just as long as you got the right flavor, that's what matters most.
That's
how about,
true too.
For Bonnie would be. A bit of honey?
No, I'm not bitter. What?
A bit of honey, not bitter honey.
I know what you meant by that.
Well, you are bitter sometimes, but you did just give out a bit of honey.
Susie says Snickers because she likes good laughs.
How about, I'm for me, good and plenty.
You're good and plenty. You're more than enough. I was trying to think that one through.
You think that one through?
Don says take five. He's retired.
Yeah, there you go, Don.
I like that.
I took 5 days off. I get it.
You took more than 5 days off.
Not, no, for my retirement. I retired from one job.
Oh,
I was literally off the week
that
I started.
Is that all you took off when you were, after you retired?
Literally, yeah.
But you were doing this as a side hustle, not
but the funny thing is my quote-unquote week of full retirement where I had no job.
Did you get bored?
And I came in here like 3 days out of the five.
Because this is a fun job. Like it's a fun career.
I was excited to start, so what can I say? How about Sweethearts?
Yeah. How about hot tamales? I knew a
few
of those over the years.
How you doing?
The ladies probably thought you were a hot tamale growing up.
They thought
I
was
all four of them in your class.
No, it was only three of them. Come on, get it right. I'm more of just a tamale, just kind of full of something.
Yeah.
What else we got on here? Runts. That's usually for Dean.
Sour Patch. There's always those sour pusses out there.
Bonnie.
Airheads.
I was gonna do that. That's usually when James and I get together, right?
Jolly Rancher, Happy Farmer, Rancher,
yeah,
Jolly Rancher.
That's Bridget.
Yes, that would fit Bridget being a Jolly Rancher.
Trying to see if these are appropriate for the show, Bonnie.
Mm.
That's not a candy donut. I don't know why this all says donuts.
That's a donut. That's in a league of its own. That's a different.
Another one for Bridget is corn nuts.
That's not a candy.
Well, it's a snack. I mean,
it's
on the list.
I used to like those, but I avoid those.
Those smell weird.
Well, they do. It's just like they're kind of dangerous for your teeth a little bit. And well, so I don't really eat
They would technically be better than what my dad used to do. My dad had some dental issues because at the grain elevator that he worked at for the first 25 years of my life, you know, number one, I always found it fascinating when farmers would bring in flaxseed.
Yeah.
Because of the texture of flaxseed, it's kind of cool to feel it or whatever. But there's a lot of farmers that would bring in corn. And, of course, my dad kind of partially some sort of kind of farmery thing that they'd put a piece in their mouth and chew on it to maybe see how much moisture's in it. Because I'm sure if it's easier to chew, then it's wetter than it should be.
Okay.
But a lot of times that corn, it's not the corn. It's not sweet corn. It's not corn you're necessarily going to eat. You're going to make it maybe into flour.
Field
stuff.
Corn, yeah.
Yeah. So dad's like chewing on corn when it's coming out of the farmer's truck. And so that kind of was really hard on his teeth. So.
I bet it was.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Less than ideal.
I stopped eating sugar babies when I was young. And I used to love those. Those used to be my favorite. But after pulling out too many fillings as a teenager,
Sugar babies and Milk Duds, same
anything
thing.
Sticky like that. Yeah. Hard or sticky, probably not a
I mean, a lot of times they're really very good. What is the, was it Slow Pokes or like the sucker version of it? And those like sometimes are even, they're super hard, so you got to kind of suck on them for a while. They soften up, and then it's just a really sticky,
they're
hard
really
taffy.
Good,
yeah,
but,
very
yeah.
good, but man, that'll mess up your teeth in a hurry.
552, Fargo Police Department holding its annual community picnic tonight from 5 to 8, and this will be in Broadway Square. It's featuring celebrating the 150th anniversary of the department's service to community. It is free and open to the public. Law enforcement will be there. They'll have their vehicles. They'll have canine demonstration, equipment displays, emergency vehicle tours. So make sure you take the kids on down there with you. Children are invited to take part in a sticker design station, and then they're going to have a drawing after a community vote on Fargo PD's social media channels and turned into an official Fargo PD sticker.
Hey,
so
there you go.
Your kiddo or grandkid or niece, nephew, whoever might be able to design a sticker.
See, I was glad you finished off that whole kind of thing that it was a sticker station because I thought it was like kids can participate in the dog training. Put on the big outfit and get chased down and throw down.
I got to whip into a 360 one time and dragged for a pretty good distance. Yeah. It didn't hurt, but it was like, okay, it was just, you're going to call this dog off. So
I'm like, okay, I get
out
the
of
point.
Its clutches. Yeah, it'll be fun, though. 5 to 8, Broadway Square tonight, community picnic, complimentary treats provided by Old Dutch Foods, Cass Clay Creamery, Sandy's Donuts. You mean chips, ice cream, donuts.
Angel cream-filled donuts, maybe?
I don't know what
probably
kind.
More of the glaze variety.
I don't know
still.
What kind of donuts.
You could hope
they
for.
Put after Sandy's Donuts, they put it in parentheses, while supplies last. So get there early. Those will go quick.
Especially there's a bunch of cops there. Donuts aren't going to last. Come on.
There's going to be music there. They have a DJ and free balloon characters. So Broadway Square tonight, 5 to 8, and it looks like they've got a great day for it.
Yeah, so that's downtown.
Yeah.
Downtown Fargo, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Our little showcase piece in the downtown area.
Nice.
So, yeah, go out and enjoy. 5:54 right now, we are checking in with WDAY Ag Director Bridget Riedel. Bonnie and friends, WDAY Radio. Good morning to you, friends. Thanks for hanging out with us. We do appreciate it. Beautiful sunny morning we've got going. If you don't like it too hot, you want to get out there and do some walking, walk the dog. Morning be time to get out there. We're at 58 degrees right now. We are looking for another warm day today, similar to what we saw yesterday, 84 for our high temp, partly to mostly sunny. There is about a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms, but those would be late in the day, and that's kind of the situation too tomorrow and Friday, just about a 30% chance of showers or thunderstorms late. Highs in the mid-80s by the time we roll around to Friday, 88 and into the 90s for the weekend. Wysocki's in the house, and maybe he's tweaking the forecast. Could we hit 100? I don't know. I see 94 is what he has for Sunday, but he'll be tweaking. I know. It's fine. I'm just going to, like I said, I'm
going
to catch
outside.
Up on documentaries, stay in the air conditioning, get stuff done around the house, because next weekend, that's when we have extra roommates for a few months.
Oh, darn.
And not only that, that's fine. Like, I'm loving that, but we'll obviously have to help them unload their stuff.
Oh.
Yeah, that's not fun. We did it when Milos brought the first load.
You should have said that, look, you guys can, you know, crash with us until your house is finished, but you guys got to unload all your own stuff.
While you're watching your baby at the same time.
No, you'll watch the baby.
I will watch the baby.
You ain't going to unload all
those. If it's hot, I'm definitely volunteering to watch the baby. But last time Milos came, it was cool. Like, it was
super
breezy
cool.
And super windy. That's perfect. It stinks moving and unloading stuff in. It's hot. Yeah.
Yeah, that's even worse.
You want a crabby grandma? Have me help. Me out when it's 90 degrees. That ain't happening. Yeah, I'm gonna stay home and watch the baby and take a nap with her.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. So yeah, next weekend they'll be moving, and hopefully it won't be that hot next weekend.
Hopefully.
What kind of candy or candy bar best describes you or your life? If you want to weigh in on that, you can certainly give us a call. Phone lines are always open to you. 701-293-9000. You can email us studio@wdayradionow.com or drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. I was surprised when I saw this because I used to be a huge, huge Food Network fan.
Yeah.
I would still watch it, but every time I watched it made me hungry, and then I would just eat. So I stopped watching it just because I couldn't stop eating when I watched the show. But one of the ones, and she was very recognizable, blonde with spiky hair, Anne Burrell was her name.
Not to be confused with Guy Fieri, who's got the same hairstyle.
Yeah, but they oftentimes were partnered
I
up
know
on
they
shows.
Were.
She died. Yeah. We learned that yesterday. Just 55.
Yep.
Not sure.
They have not released the cause of death. I don't know if she had any medical or heart issues. I mean, I guess since she's passed away anyway, I would just hope it was some type of. I mean, I don't know. What did you call a heart attack? Natural causes?
Yeah.
I mean,
aneurysm, heart attack.
I hope it's a natural cause, is not a self-inflicted one, because obviously. When you see somebody like that that's on TV, that's always so outgoing, so happy, et cetera, I mean, it you feel bad if they're suffering internally and they didn't get the help that they needed.
You just
never
know.
But, I mean, it sounds like she leaves a husband behind. And like you said, she was very recognizable. She's on the shows with her spiky hair. I think she was on Worst Cooks in America, which was kind of a funny show. Always, I think she was wearing, like, Crocs and stuff on there. Mm-hmm. But... this is the second personality from Food Network that I know that has passed away over the last 5 or so years. Mm-hmm. There was a guy, I can see his face. I can't remember what his name was, but he was often a judge on Guy's grocery games.
Mm-hmm.
And he really didn't like the spicy food, so they'd make him judge when they had spicy food. So it was kind
funny.
Of a running joke. He passed away at one point. There's Anthony Bourdain passed away.
Yeah, he was on there too. Yeah.
And so I recognize those more so than maybe some of the other celebrities that pass away, because you watch food TV so often just because it was kind of a gimmick in a sense when it started. It was always about Emeril Lagasse and food TV, and you'd watch him cook and everybody's like, oh, that was awesome. And then they just have created so many other shows, and you know, they've kind of created other personalities on this show. And so there's so many of them you recognize. And when they pass away, you're just kind of, you know, you're just disappointed and sad.
They're doing an autopsy to determine the cause of death. 55-year-old Anne Burrell, longtime host of Food Network's Worst Cooks in America. We are WDAY Fargo. It is 6:01. 6:04, time for a check on our forecast. Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki has arrived. Good morning to you, Dino.
Oh, good Lord. Thank you that the public can't hear me and Jace talking behind the scenes.
I am very proper and polite, and
he sucks you into his world.
I don't say anything inappropriate ever.
He was fine until Dean walked into the room.
Pretty much.
Okay, cold spot and warm spot in the state. What are the temperatures?
Cold spot right now.
Yep.
40.
Ooh, close, Bonnie.
42 in Cavalier, and warm spot down in, let's say, Forbes. It's
Forbes.
60.
Okay, 45 in Willow City.
Okay.
Up by Bontno.
Okay.
And Epping, a northwestern corner of the state, 67.
Oh, wow. Nice, it's going to be hot there today.
Warm start to the day. We're at 54. Not a bad start to the day. We have light winds out there, some high clouds. We told them to stay out of Moorhead, but they didn't listen. We're going to look at a lot of sunshine today, at least a sunny start after these clouds get out of here, and then partly cloudy for this afternoon. A beautiful day, mid-80s, and winds on the light side, west-northwest, about 5 to 10. And then tonight, we're going to see some isolated storms move into the area after midnight with lows in the upper 50s and light winds. And my phone just... Oh. Hold
on. Put it on
hold on. I got to take this phone call, guys.
I'm sure it's important.
Do you mind?
I'm sure it's a weather update.
Somebody probably complaining about how hot it was yesterday.
Hold on. Let me check.
It's
from Bonnie. Stop the heat for the weekend. Go figure. She couldn't just tell me.
No,
she
had to text me. Make sure you get that note.
Yeah, go figure. And then upper 80s for Thursday and Friday. Storms come in Thursday night and Friday night, and some of those could be on the strong to severe side. Main threat with those Thursday night and Friday night will be damaging winds and possible hail. And then the weekend, oh my goodness. I'll tell you more about that at the bottom of the hour.
Okay.
Thank you, Dino.
Weekend looks
hot.
It's yeah. Bonnie approved.
Did you think yesterday was a... top 10 day like you were calling for?
You know, I liked it. I did. It was light winds. We didn't have totally sunny skies. There was a little cloud cover. So if Bonnie complained that it was too hot.
Jace did too.
Yeah.
How come
yesterday?
You only hear yeah, me man. Complaining? You never
oh
hear
my God.
Him complaining. It was hot.
Yesterday you thought was hot.
Yesterday
come
was
on.
Hot. Come on now.
Thank you.
Oh, man. You guys. All right. You just lost your man card, Jace. And Bonnie.
My daughter was out walking it. She said it was too hot. She didn't like it.
It wasn't even humid.
It was warm.
It was warm. Yeah.
Sweaty hot? Warm. Yeah. I don't like to sweat.
Man, you guys need to move further north. Winnipeg's calling.
It's not supposed to be this hot in this part of the country.
What's that?
It's not supposed to be this hot in this part of the country.
Oh, God. Man. You know, enjoy summers. They're short enough. Come on.
67, 73 is a perfect world for me.
Alaska.
72.
Anchorage.
I know a couple different people in Alaska right now. Maybe I should go take a trip.
It is. That's on my bucket list.
My niece and her family are there, and they did a camper road trip, went up through Canada to get there.
Yep.
And they're going to be there for 5 weeks.
Is that the one that's wanted by the feds?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
And then my friend Marianne's also there with a bunch of friends, too. I think they're doing biking out there.
Oh, that'd be a beautiful trip.
Must be a good time of year to go.
Yeah, it's, you know, you get up there, it's probably in the 60s. You know, Alaska can get hot, you know, depending, but...
like, what's hot?
Well, for you, 70s, so...
Yeah.
Yeah.
But 80s, can it get in the 80s?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Without a doubt. Huh. Yep.
I got a friend that lives up there now.
Do you?
They decided to probably take the last 5 years of her government career and move up there and work out of, like, probably, I can't remember if it's probably Anchorage. I don't know if it's Fairbanks.
See,
or not,
I'd like to go in the backcountry. I heard it's beautiful.
There's so many times she's taken video of like moose in their backyard. They went out for a hike and they.
My ex-wife was up there?
Yeah, probably.
Okay.
There was a bear up there too. You know? About the same size.
Did she shave her antler or shed her antlers?
No.
Okay.
They were pretty
just checking.
Prominent. So. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot of wildlife and hiking and things
it's
up there,
and
they're kind of outdoorsy types anyway. So.
Oh man, I got one off my bucket list last summer, skydiving.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Which you have to do yet.
Yep, yeah. I probably will wait till next spring. I think
heart not ready.
I don't know. I mean, I know I can fly internationally after 1 year's up, so they want me to wait like elective surgeries, international flights after a year.
Okay.
So I'm thinking probably next year.
Well, it's not international. I mean, it's right over Fargo.
I know,
do you
right?
think it's wise to be jumping out of a plane 6 months out from his
You
heart
only
transplant?
Live once.
I
well,
know.
Sometimes you live
his
twice.
Seven, eight times, but you know, hey,
nine
I mean,
times, who's counting?
Yeah. Hey,
nobody's counting.
Like, yeah, you know what's going to happen?
Yeah.
What can happen?
What's the worst that can happen?
What's the worst that can happen?
It's already happened once.
Yeah, I think just give that a little waste.
Yeah.
I hate to rub it into it's International Sushi Day too, Jason.
Oh, come on, man.
Is it
National Sushi Day?
International, yeah. He brought up he can't eat sushi.
I got to ask my transplant coordinator.
Well, you can't eat sushi.
They wanted me not to based on the fact there could be bacteria and it's, you know, it's raw food. So, I mean, I got to double check because now they've said instead of just, like, because I was like, what's the rare occasion I can have an adult beverage? Is it once a year, once a month, once a week? And the doctor's like, no, you could have one like once a week. And I'm like, oh, okay. That's a lot better than I thought before. So, you know, I got to double check about the sushi. Maybe I'm farther away from the surgery. Maybe
here's an idea.
Less likely.
eat sushi while you're skydiving. Just say screw it.
It'd be hard to because some of them have like the sauce and the spicy mayo on like, it.
Before you jump. I mean, you know, as you're going up and then chew it going down.
Yeah, exactly. Take your chances.
See, yeah, I know. Just double up. Why not?
Come on, live on the edge for crying out loud, man.
So safe. What kind of candy bar or candy describes your life, you or your life, Waisaki?
Oh, man.
You probably think hot tamale.
Well, that's a Christie would say.
I would say Gobstopper.
I was going to say Kit Kat.
Mm-hmm. Give me a break.
Give me a break.
Rocky
break
Road.
Me off a piece of that. Okay, Rocky Road.
Smarties.
Rocky Road. That was before I moved up here.
Yes.
Yeah.
I would say, just smooth.
I would say since you got a couple of X's, I'd say 100 grand. That's what he's paid.
Do you have a rim shot? That was perfect.
I don't. It's on J Sheets.
Wow.
I probably have one on mine too, but that's okay.
Don't worry about it.
Wow, she's sassy now.
That's not it.
Now she actually has to work.
Now she actually has to do something.
She had a song queued up for the next segment. Now you just ruined it.
Oh, well, you know.
Thank you.
It's not like I got 12 things going on over here with the two of those clowns spouting off over there.
Always...
Oh, look, let's turn off their microphones. They can't even talk anymore. 6:12, little chumps. We're going to get to your national news from ABC. Then Big Game James McCarty is in with your WDAY Radio Sports. 6:16, Big Game James McCarty has arrived with your WDAY Radio Sports. Good morning, James.
Good morning. Optimus All-Star Volleyball Series concluded last night in Mandan. Team Blue pulling the reverse sweep. They were trailing 2-0. It was the red squad winning the first two sets, 25-21 and 25-21. The last three went the way of Team Blue, 25-22, 25-23, and 15-11. South Prairie Max graduate Ajaya Trader ended up with 15 kills to lead the Blue squad, who ended up tying up that series now. So they each won an evening in the All-Star Series here for 2025. Minnesota Twins gave up four runs in the fourth inning and a 6-5 loss to Cincinnati Reds Tuesday night. The Twins have now lost five straight games. Six pitchers recorded at least a single out in that loss. Harrison Bader, he was the one that kick-started the offense with a three-run homer. Byron Buxton robbed a home run in center field, kind of shitting towards right a little bit last night, and then the following inning he hit a home run in almost the exact same spot. It was like 15 feet to the left of it. So he also has his offense flowing. Trevor Larnach drove in a run in the game. Twins-Reds again tonight, 6-10. Bailey Ober gets the nod for Minnesota. Cincinnati will counter with Nick Lodolo. Fargo-Moorhead Redhawks, well, they also gave up four runs in a single inning, but it was six runs over two innings. That cost them in a 7-5 loss to the Sioux City Explorers. Orlando Rodriguez gave up six runs over four innings. He was tagged with a loss. The bullpen gave up only one run in five innings of work. Miguel Ojeda Jr. had a pair of RBI in that loss. Alec Oland, Robert Perez Jr., Alex Free, Planez, all with an RBI in that matchup. 7-0-2 tonight. They'll continue that series with the Redhawks trying to steal one back from the Explorers. Men's College Baseball World Series. All games on ESPN still. Louisville ended up walking off number 8 Oregon State 7-6 after the Beavers scored three runs in the top half and needed to tie it up. So the Cardinals will now move on to what will be the championship of their side of the bracket, if that makes sense. And then Arkansas defeated LSU 7-3. So today you have Coastal Carolina against Louisville at 1 o'clock and then LSU against Arkansas at 6 p.m. If Coastal Carolina wins, they're off to the championship series. If Louisville wins, it'll be an elimination game on Thursday. As for the LSU and Arkansas game, if LSU wins, they're off to the championship series. If Arkansas wins, it sets up a elimination game on Thursday for both squads as well. Minnesota Lynx, they were struggling in the first half. They were down 9 to the Aces in Minneapolis last night. It was a tough night, and if he's a Collier, wasn't kick-started. She only shot 3 of 9 on the evening, didn't even get up into double-figure points. She was actually the lone starter for the Lynx that was negative in the plus-minus last night. You're just kind of wondering what exactly was going on. It was a little, something was just off for whatever reason, but you know what? The rest of the team picked her up. Courtney Williams had 20 points. You had Alana Smith with a 10-point, 13-rebound double-double, and then you had a couple off the bench, and Natisha Heidemann and Diamond Miller, actually, both with double figures, 12 points off the bench apiece. The Lynx outscore Vegas 46-23 in the second half for a 76-62 victory. And so even though the star of the squad was struggling, there was the role players and the additional pieces that picked up Minnesota last night as they improved to 11-1 on the season. They now don't play again until Saturday evening. They're going to host the LA Sparks at 7 p.m. That'll actually be nationally televised on NBA TV. And in the Stanley Cup final, we have, well, a repeat champion. The Florida Panthers dominating the Edmonton Oilers 5-1 in Game 6 of that series to win it 4-2. Sam Reinhart had 4 goals for Florida in that victory. And for the second straight year, the Florida Panthers defeat the Edmonton Oilers in Sunrise, Florida in the deciding game of that series. So they were trying to push it 7. They just were not quite able to. And, I mean, it was that's just a potent team there for Florida. And it was really a treat to watch them again this season. All I ask for out of next season is please somebody from the north be good. Because what has it been now, 6 straight years that the state of Florida has represented the Eastern Conference in the Cup Final, which is kind of a little bit odd. And you're like, my goodness, what the heck is going on here? But it's pretty cool nonetheless. But One final thing with that whole series that I found just absolutely crazy was Matthew Tkachuk. He ended up with, I believe it was 3 goals and 4 assists in that 6-game series. He was talking with media after the game, and they asked him, they said, okay, we know you're hurt. What's going on? He said he tore his adductor off the bone.
Oh.
And he played the entire Cup final with it.
Oh, my gosh.
He also had a hernia on the same side.
Ooh.
Of his. Yeah, so he's got a well-deserved surgery and recovery lined up for himself this offseason.
I imagine, yeah.
But, I mean, it just another thing to show that when you think that you're powering through things, when you're a basketball player after being fouled, you're not a hockey player.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You know, you get a cramp and you come back after 10 minutes and some fluids. Do you think that you're a champ? Good for you, but you're still not a hockey player.
Yeah.
I mean, those guys are, they're not all there. And they know it. They own up to it.
Yeah.
And it makes for great hockey.
Yeah.
So we appreciate the way that those guys put their bodies in the line, because there's no reason that guy should have been walking, let alone skating,
right. Wow.
In a Stanley Cup final the past week and a half. So,
no doubt.
Yeah. Tonight as well, Primetime Sports, 6:30. Jason and I will get you ready to rock and roll in the middle of the week on a hump day.
6:22, coming up 6:56 this morning, Flatland Music Flashback, brought to you by Flatland Guitar in Fargo, a music store built around and dedicated to quality guitar repairs. Very successful band. You might think they have a lot of number one hits, but they don't. They only have 1 U.S. number one hit, and sometimes it just depended on who was hot at the time. You know, the Stones, the Beatles, a lot of times different groups were kept out of that number one spot. But we'll tell you who it is, Flatland Music Flashback, again coming up right around 6:56 this morning. You guys know who the C-Boys are?
The what?
The C-Boys.
S-E-A or just the letter C?
No, the letter C, Boys from Cormorant, Minnesota.
Oh, yeah.
They've got
a
YouTube channel featuring extreme sports, motorized
activities. They are schmucks.
They're
is
like
that,
you
does
guys.
That help define it?
They've been featured on Jay Thomas, the Rides by Jay Thomas.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they made
good
a little
for them.
They made a little news here locally.
Uh-oh.
Kind of. They attracted a lot of attention, put it that way. We'll talk about it next. 6:25, Wednesday morning. Welcome into Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio. Group of young men known as the C-Boys. They do things, extreme sports. I think they've done stuff with, like, motorcycles and snowmobiles, jumping over. I think they were, like, snowmobiling on a lake, one of the first videos I saw them do, and then they jumped a road with it. Of course, cops had to check on them back in the day. But they're making a living doing this. I think these young men are in their mid to late 20s now. I think they're right around my oldest daughter's age, known as the C-Boys, Cormorant Lake area. Apparently, they were working on a new YouTube video and brought it into Fargo. According to Inforum, they decided to vandalize a Tesla, but it was just a prank. But people didn't know it was a prank. So people in the downtown area see somebody that's spray painting this Tesla that's parked outside Vinyl Taco.
Mm-hmm.
And here it was just a prank that they ended up sharing on their Instagram page yesterday afternoon.
Was it their own Tesla?
Probably. I would guess so. Yeah. And they said it was like a chalk. It was something that would have, but to White your top. Average person who was watching it and stuff. Oh, yeah. They've got some fancy vehicles. Like I said, they were featured on an episode of Rides with Jay Thomas. But these kids are, well, they're not even kids anymore. They're young men. They're making a living doing this. Their YouTube channel, 4.62 million subscribers.
Awesome. I mean, so here's the thing. So from what little I can see in the Inform video, that's kind of, it's from a ways away. So you see the guy like spray painting it and then the other guy come out and chase him.
Come running out. Yeah.
I hate. Like, you don't watch it because you don't, but there's TikTok videos, which are obviously short videos. I mean, the same thing as Instagram and Facebook Reels. But when people have these videos where it's supposed to be, there's one that keeps going around. I don't know if it's just a description that people use to get people to watch their videos. It'll be like, police officer messed with the wrong undercover FBI agent, which the whole premise of the video doesn't make any sense. But there's so many videos that are just, they're staged, and you start watching thinking, oh, this could be interesting, and then you see it, and you're like, this is all, I mean, nobody's going to get that upset about X, Y, or Z and whatnot, and so it's kind of not necessarily false advertising, but it's just dumb, because then it's like, normally people want to see real stuff that happened, and when you're staging a prank where it's like, oh, someone got vandalized the Cybertruck, and they take it from the perspective of the guy who owns the truck, I mean, it's like, you find out it was all staged, and you're like, well, I mean, you're just obviously you're just doing it for views, but it's just kind of dumb social media videos. You know what I mean?
Is it any different in terms of, say, like that Impractical Joker show or the old candid camera? It's along the line.
Yeah, I mean,
it doesn't bother me at all. Cops did get called, and I guess one officer responded, according to the Inform article, and realized it was a prank right away.
Yeah, I don't watch Impractical Jokers. I mean,
that's a good show, actually.
I find it kind of annoying because they make the one guy just say and do a bunch of really just inappropriate and dumb stuff, and you're just like, I don't know how people walking by would, in a sense, almost, why would they take them seriously,
I don't know. Well, same with Candid Camera back in the day. I mean, they did random stuff like that.
Well, it used to be a show on MTV called Punked with Ashton Kutcher, mean, I don't really get into shows like that. And the whole social media trend of making up, scenarios and making people think that this person offended this person, they're going to be a big fight or whatever. It's like, okay, whatever.
I don't know. I'm not angry about this. It's like,
no, whatever. I'm not angry. I'm just annoyed.
Is downtown Fargo the best place for them to do one of their pranks? Maybe not, but I don't know.
I mean, they got to make it look like it's a residential or, a bigger metro type of area. So they wouldn't do that out in the middle of, Fergus Falls, or we'll do it over in Barnesville or something,
Well, I give credit to these young men who have figured out a way to make a good living doing things they love to do. So if you want to read about it, I guess you can go to inforum.com. But a lot of people in the area, of course, thought it was like real, like somebody's actually vandalizing a car.
Well, that's because that's what it looked like.
Yeah. All right. Be listening. Great grocery giveaway. We are going to get a qualifier coming up in the 7 o'clock hour. If you are registered for that, listen for your name to be called. You have 9 minutes, 70 seconds to call us and let us know that you heard your name. Our great grocery giveaway. We're giving away $10,000 in groceries, brought to you by Allsager Meats and Kingpins. It is 6:30. 6:32. Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki is here now with a check on our forecast. Got some more clouds that moved in.
Yeah, a little bit. Partly cloudy out there right now, but we'll see more sunshine as we head throughout the day. Currently, temps in the low to mid-50s. A nice, pleasant morning. Okay, I got to ask Bonnie, because she's the heat freak. Did you have your air conditioner on yesterday?
My air has been set probably for a month and a half already.
Ours has been on too, Dina.
Really?
What are you talking about?
All right, I had to turn mine on yesterday. Well, because my front of the house faces west, so I get the heat.
Yeah.
Yeah, I
mean,
central air or just a window air?
No, it's a window air.
Oh, see, I have central air, so I just set it.
Oh, I can't stand it.
Set it and forget it.
It's the first house I've ever had with not central air.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So it was, had to turn that on, watch Cubs game. Oh, man, I'll tell you what.
Cubby's doing good?
Oh, man. Watch towards the trade deadline. Ask Big Game James about it. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a fun year. Anyway, we're in the low to mid-50s right now with light wind, partly cloudy skies. We'll see more sunshine throughout the day, and man, Bonnie's just going to melt in this. 85 today.
Yeah.
Oof. I hope she makes it. West-northwest winds about 5 to 10. We'll see storms come in overnight tonight, just isolated, nothing severe, with lows in the upper 50s. And then Thursday and Friday, 87 and 89, both Thursday and Friday. Daytime hours dry. Nighttime, we'll see some storms. Thursday night, we'll see storms. Friday, I'm kind of concerned about Friday night. Friday night into Saturday morning. And again, we're looking at overnight storms, daytime hours dry, but, Friday night, we could see some strong to severe storms around here. Hail, damaging winds, a pretty good bet, it looks like, across. Yeah. It's not looking good Friday night.
Park inside if you
can. Dean's going to be working, overnight, I think, on Friday night. And then the weekend is hot. Especially Saturday. Saturday being the hotter of the 2 days, low to mid-90s on Saturday. And Sunday, we'll have a cold front approaching. And typically, a cold front of this magnitude would trigger off some storms, and there's a lot of questions about it in terms of are we going to be able to get enough moisture up here to trigger off those storms? And I don't see a lot of storms on Sunday evening as the cold front pushes through, with highs in the upper 80s to near 90, and then much cooler next week with low 70s. We go from the 90s to the low 70s. There will be some areas that early next week, morning lows dip into the upper 40s.
Wow.
Now that's Bonnie-approved weather.
So, so instead of Sunday being the hotter day is going to be Saturday?
It looks like Saturday. Well, they're both going to be hot. The timing of the front on Sunday is going to be the big thing, and our models are anywhere between noon and 8. I mean, an 8-hour window this far out is not, it doesn't sound like a big deal, but it will be, because if the cold front hits earlier, then we cool off quickly Sunday afternoon. But I think we're going to be on the hotter side, and then towards evening, that's when the cold front hits.
Good for those that like the pool or the lakes.
The weekend looks great for pool and lake, no doubt.
It's not so great for those of us that are sitting in a small old booth to try and call a game on a Saturday.
Ooh, yeah. Evening?
3 p.m. is first game. 6 p.m. is the late game.
See, you have to have... So Bonnie should come there with a squirt bottle and a fan.
A big leaf. Why
don't you bring your window air conditioner and just hold it there for me?
We can do that, too.
I did send a note to myself to remember that little neck fan that I made for you, so he can use it.
See, that's perfect.
I've got a nice clip-on fan that's in my office. You know, I had to pay a pretty penny for that one, but I have that, so... Bring that
again,
with.
Just give Bonnie a little extra, little side change. Yeah. She'll come with a squirt bottle and a portable fan.
Well, she needs a big block of ice, and she's got to put the fan right behind.
See?
I'd do a drive-by with a super soaker and then leave you, boys.
You would, too, wouldn't you?
You wouldn't know what doubt. Don't ruin the equipment, Bonnie. We can't have it shorting out on us.
6:37, time for your national news from ABC. We'll check in with the American Ag Network in Big Game. James McCarty has your WDAY Radio Sports. 6:42, Big Game James McCarty is here with your WDAY Radio Sports.
Last night, the Optimist All-Star Volleyball Series for the summer of 2025 concluded in Mandan with Team Blue pulling the reverse sweep on Team Red, 3-2. The first two sets went Team Red 25-21, 25-21, and the last three was Team Blue 25-22, 25-23, and 15-11. South Prairie Max's Ajayar Trader would end up with 15 kills in the victory for that blue squad as they split this year's All-Star matches. The Minnesota Twins give up 4 runs in the 4th inning of a 6-5 loss to the Reds in Cincinnati on Tuesday night. Byron Buxton did rob a home run and then hit a solo homer an inning later. Harrison Bader with a 3-run home run, just not enough to get him over the hump last night. They did get 2 runners on base in the 9th inning, but ultimately a strikeout with 2 to end the game is what closed the door on that possible comeback bid. Twins and Reds continue their series tonight at 6:10. Bailey Ober gets the nod for Minnesota. Fargo Moorhead Redhawks coincidentally also gave up a 4-run 4th inning in a 7-5 loss to the Sioux City Explorers. Orlando Rodriguez gave up 6 runs over 4 innings. He was tagged with the loss. The bullpen was pretty solid, though. They only gave up 1 run over 5 innings of work in that matchup. And the Redhawks did have 4 different players driving at least a single run in the loss. They try and knot up that series at Newman Outdoor Field tonight, beginning at 7:02. Men's College World Series saw a couple of loser out games with a walk-off from Louisville over number eight ranked Oregon State 7-6, knocking the Beavers out of the tournament. And then number three ranked Arkansas over number 15 UCLA 7-3. So the Big Ten is officially done with the tournament, even though UCLA is, of course, in California. Different story. Yeah. It's been tough for me to accept it's been tough for me to accept the West Coast as a Big Ten school.
Yeah.
It's hard enough thinking that, I mean, Maryland's in the Big Ten, right? I mean, they just we're going coast to coast for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. Thank you, football money. That sets up a couple of matchups today as Coastal Carolina gets Louisville at 1 o'clock, and then LSU against Arkansas in an SEC rivalry, and also a rematch of the opening round of the tournament at 6 p.m. Coastal, if they win, they're off to the championship series. If Louisville wins, it sets up an elimination game on Thursday afternoon. LSU, if they win, they're off to the championship series. If Arkansas wins, that sets up an elimination game on Thursday evening in a winner-take-all type scenario for the championship series bid. Dominant second half from the Minnesota Lynx. Saw them outscore the Las Vegas Aces 46-23 in Minneapolis. Last night, the Lynx get the 76-62 win. Only 7 points from Nafisa Collier, but she was picked up by Courtney Williams, who had 20 points. And then off the bench, both Diamond Miller and Natisha Heidemann with 12 points apiece. And Alana Smith did have a double-double of 10 points and 13 rebounds. The Lynx improved to a league best, 11-1 of the season. They will host the LA Sparks on Saturday evening at 7 p.m. That game will be nationally televised on NBA TV. And the Florida Panthers winning their second straight cup final, a 5-1 win over Edmonton last night, winning that series 4-2. Now, the state of Florida has not only participated in the cup final for the last 6 years, but they also have now their second repeat champion, as now with the Panthers doing it, they joined the 2020 and 2021 Tampa Bay Lightning, who did it themselves in the last 6 years as well. So, if you're an Eastern Conference fan, if you're a northern half of the country fan, tell your team to play better, because Florida has taken the entire league by storm the last half a decade plus here at this point. And tonight, primetime sports at 6:30 will get you up to speed on the sports scene. Pebble Lake Golf Club has been voted one of the top 25 public courses in the state of Minnesota. Find out why when you book a tee time online at playpebblelake.com.
I hadn't heard about this, and I don't know if it's chatter.
And now you have.
Bragging rights. I can run faster than you can run. There was supposed to be Olympic sprinter, gold medalist Noah Lyles was supposed to challenge Miami Dolphins wide receiver Tyreek Hill to a 100-meter dash. Did you hear about that?
Probably a couple months ago. That sounds familiar.
I guess it was supposed to happen this weekend in New York City, but it's called off for personal reasons.
Personal reasons, like they just don't want to do it.
Like, I feel like somebody's afraid they're going to lose.
I think somebody was trash talking. I can run faster than you can run.
I think that was Noah Lyles.
Is he like that?
He's a very gifted runner, if you can be gifted in running. He was cocky about it.
Yeah.
But at the same point, I mean, you're an Olympic sprinter, right? For Team USA.
Yeah, that's your job. Do your job,
exactly.
Man. You got one job to do. Run fast.
Yeah, for the likes of Tyreek Hill, he has to run fast and catch a ball.
Right.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Good point,
that's
James.
A multitask there.
You bet. 6:47, Flatland Music Flashbacks coming your way, 6:56 this morning, brought to you by Flatland Guitar in Fargo, a music store built around and dedicated to quality guitar repairs. We're going to be showcasing this band and song. The band released the first three-dimensional picture disc complete with 3D glasses. Find out who it is. Flatland Music Flashback around 6:56. Stand by. We're heading back to the American Ag Network shortly.
It was on this date in 1987. A woman sued this band claiming she lost part of her hearing because the concert was too loud. We'll find out what band that was coming up next in Flatland Music Flashback.
Time for Flatland Music Flashback. Flatland Guitar Music Store built around and dedicated to quality guitar repairs.
1976, ABBA gave a special live performance in Stockholm for Sweden's King Carl XVI, Gustav, and Sylvia Sommerlath in the eve of their wedding.
The Swedish pop group is one of the best-selling artists of all time. They had 20 Billboard Hot 100 hits and are in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Oh, yeah. Get that cranberry juice, girl.
You're the only one that thinks that.
I think it every time you play this song. 1977, Fleetwood Mac went to number one on the U.S. singles chart with Dreams. It was the group's first and only U.S. number one.
Yep. Stevie Nicks says she wrote the song in about 10 minutes. Fleetwood Mac is one of the world's best-selling bands. They, too, are in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
1980, The Blues Brothers movie opened. Celebrities making cameo appearances included James Brown, Ray Charles, and Aretha Franklin. Ray Charles performed Shake a Tail Feather during a scene in the movie.
He sure did. The movie starred Jim Belushi and Dan Aykroyd as Juliet Jake and Elwood Blues, characters developed from the Blues Brothers musical sketch on Saturday Night Live.
One of many SNL movies.
Yes.
Many will remember this one. In the movie Ferris Bueller.
Right.
1983, the Swiss band Yellow released their first three-dimensional picture disc, complete with 3D glasses. The song Oh Yeah gained popularity after said movie and Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Yeah, and it's become widely used in other films, TV shows, and commercials.
Back when he could sing.
Turn it down, it's too loud!
My daughter thought he was speaking a foreign language when he performed at Ribfest. Because that... and that's all he was doing. 1987, a woman sued Motley Crue for $5,000, which isn't very much, claiming she lost part of her hearing because the concert was too loud.
What'd she expect?
I don't know.
She claimed she wasn't even a fan of theirs, but a friend dragged her to the concert.
Well, then maybe you should sue your friend. Dummy. Having a birthday today, the one and only Sir Paul McCartney is 83. Say, Say, Say with Michael Jackson hit number one in 1983. The former Beatle is one of the most successful composers and performers of all time. He has written or co-written 32 songs that have hit number one on the Billboard charts. He is in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame twice as a member of the Beatles and as a solo artist.
You bet. If you're having a birthday today, happy birthday to you, too. Be listening for your name to be called. Great grocery giveaway. In the next hour, we're going to be calling one of your names. You have 9 minutes, 70 seconds to call us at 701-293-9000. The great grocery giveaway brought to you by Allsager Meats and Kingpins. One of you is going to win groceries for a year. That's $10,000 in groceries. 701, we are WDAY Fargo. Walking at a very brisk pace to get in the studio on time, Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki. Way to get your heart rate up.
We got some Moorhead clouds throughout the area today.
Here.
This morning.
I like it.
You get it.
I get you. It's legal now.
We'll see some more sunshine, though, as we head throughout the day. So a little bit of cloud cover this morning, but we'll see increasing sunshine as we head through the afternoon. A beautiful day today. Again, another gorgeous. Yesterday, I thought was great. Today, maybe even better, although Bonnie would say, it's too hot. Yeah. Hey, the humidity isn't up there.
How come you only hear when I complain about it? Jace hates the heat just as much as I do.
You know, I give Jace a little...
Because you guys are male bonding going on.
He died eight times, so I give him a little slack. You, not so much. Mid-80s today with a west-northwest wind about 5 to 10. A few storms overnight tonight with lows in the upper 50s. And Thursday, upper 80s. Friday, upper 80s. Nighttime storms Thursday night and Friday night, and it looks like some of those storms, especially Friday night, could be on the severe side. Main threat with that would be damaging winds and large hail. And then the weekend looks dry with temperatures in the 90s on Saturday. A few question marks on Sunday. Cold front will be approaching, and with the timing of that when that comes through is will make a big difference on temps. Right now, we're going to go with lower 90s on Sunday, assuming that cold front doesn't hit till late in the day. We could have falling temperatures by evening, and then much cooler to start off early next week with highs only in the low 70s. So we go from low 90s to low 70s, and again, a few storm chances, mainly nighttime, tonight, tomorrow night, and Friday night.
Steamy, muggy then, or?
As we headed in the weekend, yes. Yeah, yeah, okay. you'll notice a big increase in humidity.
Okay. Dean's yep. Weather this hour brought to you by the North Dakota Petroleum Foundation. It is 7:05. We're looking for Aaron Beetz from Valley City, B-I-E-T-Z, Aaron Beetz, Valley City. You are our next contestant, the Great Grocery Giveaway. You have 9 minutes, 70 seconds, or 10 minutes, 10 seconds. Jace has his watch started there. Aaron Beetz, Valley City, give us a call, 701-293-9000. We'll get you entered as a qualifier for the Great Grocery Giveaway brought to you by Allsager Meats and Kingpins. We're going to head to the ABC News for your national news, and Big Game James McCarty is in with your WDAY Radio Sports. And we're still looking for Aaron Beetz to give us a call for the Great Grocery Giveaway. Aaron Beetz of Valley City.
6 minutes.
6 minutes, 701-293-9000. Big Game James McCarty's here with your WDAY Radio Sports.
Stanley Cup Final went final last night with a 5-1 win for the Florida Panthers over the Edmonton Oilers. Panthers taking that series 4-2, repeating as Stanley Cup champion. Sam Reinhart had 4 goals in the victory. So for the second time in 6 years, we've had a repeat champion, both of which from the state of Florida. Now, within 2020 and 2021, it was the Tampa Bay Lightning. Now in 24-25, it is the Florida Panthers, the state of Florida representing the Eastern Conference for each of the last 6 Stanley Cup finals, as we do have the draft next week. The Wild do not have a first-round draft pick. They do have a second-rounder, though. It's a little bit of a jumbled mess for the Wild, down a couple of picks because of some trades that they made in recent memory. On the hardwood last night, the Minnesota Lynx trailed by 9 at the half to the Las Vegas Aces in Minneapolis at the Target Center. They would kick it into gear, though, outscoring that Vegas squad 46-23 in the second half en route to a 76-62 win. There was 4 different players in double figures for the Lynx, none of which were Nafisa Collier, who struggled from the field last night. Courtney Williams had a team-high 20 points. Diamond Miller and Natisha Heidemann, 12 points apiece off the bench. The Lynx are now 11-1 on the year. They welcome the LA Sparks to Minneapolis Saturday night, with that game nationally televised on NBA TV. On the diamond last night, the Twins gave up 4 runs in the 4th inning of a 6-5 loss to the Reds in Cincinnati. They've now lost 5 straight games. And they did, on a bright spot, they had a 3-run homer from Harrison Bader, and Byron Buxton not only robbed a home run, but also hit one himself. Twins and Reds again tonight at 6:10 with Billy Ober on the mound. Fargo-Moorhead Redhawks, coincidentally enough, also gave up a 4-run inning and a 7-5 loss to Sioux City last night at Newman Outdoor Field. Orlando Rodriguez struggled, giving up 6 runs over 4 innings. He was tagged with the loss. The bullpen only gave up 1 run over 5 innings of work in that matchup. 4 Redhawks driving in at least 1 run as they try and tie up that series at Newman Outdoor Field tonight, beginning at 7:02. And running out sports here this hour, you had last night the Optimist All-Star Volleyball Series. It concluded in Mandan with Team Blue pulling the reverse sweep on Team Red. The Red squad winning the first 2 sets each by a score of 25-21 before Team Blue would win set 3, 25-22, set 4, 25-23, and the decisive 5th set, 15-11, as they split now those 2 series this week for the 2025 All-Star Volleyball Series, as the 2025 graduating class now going on to their future endeavors. So congratulations to them. It was a lot of fun on Monday night. It was good to see them last night as well, and the excitement of a new season looms, and only right about 2 months away or so at this point, believe it or not. Before you'll be approaching, you have just over 2 months to the first volleyball match, but your first football game should be right about 9 weeks away, if I have my math correct on it. So kind of crazy how that sneaks up on you. Tonight, primetime sports at 6:30. Maybe Jason and I will get into that. Our first, no, not quite yet. Not quite. We don't have the full high school schedule figured out quite yet for the fall, but we're going to get that rolling here in the next couple of weeks.
But
as
you do have a football game on Saturday.
We do.
Two of them.
Yep, we got a couple of them.
Is it a doubleheader?
Yeah, it's a doubleheader. Yep.
That would be 2.
Well, yes. I didn't know if you had it in 2 different locations or if it was a doubleheader. Don't be a smart aleck.
What are you talking about?
Fight.
It's very serious.
Fight.
Me?
All the
fight. Smart aleck? What?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, so you have the all-star football games on Saturday. That'll be here on WDAY Radio, Jason and I. At 3 o'clock, it's the 11-man game, and then at 6 o'clock, you'll have the 9-man game.
Oh.
It'll be up in Mayville. The excitement will continue for the Summer All-Star Series. And the one downfall to it is, of course, you don't have a lot of airflow in the booth, but we'll survive.
You guys will be fine.
We'll survive.
It'll be fun to hear football.
Yeah, we have very severe first world problems.
Yeah. What time do you start
the air? We'll go live right before 3 o'clock, right about 3 o'clock for the opening lineups for the 11-man game, which will be the East versus the West and from the A, double, and triple A all-stars, and then you'll have the Class B schools or the nine-man schools that'll square off East versus West and the nightcap at right about 6 p.m.
That's great because it's the weekend. A lot of people might be heading to the lake or they're out of town, and they can tune in and listen to you guys call the games.
Exactly. I'm looking forward to it just to get back out there on the gridiron because we've got the summer camps for NDSU, MSUM, Concordia, and that's just not enough to get my fix at this point.
No.
So it'll be nice to see some pads clashing a bit.
It'll be fun. We had a wildlife rescue in Oklahoma. The Owasso, Oklahoma Fire Department called out because a deer somehow got into a tank at a wastewater treatment plant and was struggling. You would think those things would be covered. You know, like a wastewater treatment plant.
Why would you cover a deer?
No, the wastewater treatment plant, the
water. So they don't get shot.
or that it's a baby. You couldn't even shoot this little fawn.
Oh,
he's
James.
Probably still like Bambi on the ice.
I got somebody who begged to differ.
Except for it's water, though, Bonnie, and he wouldn't be doing that.
It's probably sewage water is what it is. But
oh, so did somebody go and rescue him?
Firefighters did. Yeah.
Oh, I thought it might have been somebody else that likes to swim in raw sewage.
I'm sure they got it with a rope. They didn't say how they got him out, but a firefighter's holding him, and he looks pretty dry. It doesn't even look like he has boots on. It looks like he has dress shoes on. He probably just came out for a photo op, that guy. No, I'm just kidding.
Bring out the fire chief. Here's my picture. Look, I saved a deer. No, you didn't. You were in the office.
Yeah, and we'll put it on social media.
Yeah.
What did they write? We dearly love our job, and they spelled it like deer.
How clever.
Yeah. They were on the scene to rescue the slippery little guy from the tank. The deer is now safe, soggy, and headed back to dry land. Oh, are we out of time? Why are you pointing at me?
Out of time!
Oh, darn. Sorry, Aaron.
Aaron did not make the cut. Darn. She did not qualify.
I think it's a he. It's a double A. I think it's a he, so.
They?
They, him. I don't know.
Those people?
Yeah. So.
That person.
Them.
Be listening in the 10 that. O'clock hour for your next opportunity to get qualified for the great grocery giveaway. 10 o'clock hour, 1 o'clock hour, 4 o'clock hour, and of course, 7 o'clock hour. We do it four times a day, brought to you by Allsager Meats and Kingpins. Are giving away $10,000 in groceries. And for all of you who do get qualified, make sure you're able to attend the Great Grocery Giveaway Grand Prize Party. We'll be over at Kingpins on Thursday, July 10th. That's a requirement because we're having a little party there, and or it's a big party. And then we announce our winner. So there's a lot of,
yeah,
just like we did for the Eagles, which was a fantastic time. And yeah, we love to hang out with you guys. It was a great night. So congratulations to all of you who have gotten qualified. And there's still plenty of time to do that. Did you draw two winners yesterday? You were supposed to take a picture for me at Grease Monkey when you were there.
No,
yesterday.
They kept the box
the
out later than I was there.
Do
yeah,
it. They'll let
yeah,
us know sales later on.
No, yeah, we.
Did you have a lot of people coming in to?
I was
register?
Very impressed. Yeah,
nice.
It was quite a few people. It was nice to put faces to some of the names that we see through Facebook and through the caller IDs. And
did any of the moms and grandmas try to pinch your cheeks when they came in?
No, actually, I kind of had forgotten to, so that might have happened.
You would have remembered as soon as they reached out.
Rhonda was running around the entire property with cookies that she was making. They got a little oven in there, man. They make fresh cookies every day at Grease Monkey.
Nice.
They know what they're doing.
Yeah.
They had some beverages. You get some coffee, sodas. Mm-hmm. Man, I tell you what, they're living life large over there. But it was really great. I actually, depending on how closely you two were listening, Jay can attest to it. I may or may not have missed one of the hits, but I didn't fully miss it because
Jay came too early.
No, that would have been no. Okay, we're not that shocked. Okay,
he did that to us at the Eagles too because we were talking and he came to us early, so we missed one.
No,
of those.
So I texted Ron and said, hey, just let me know when we're doing the next hit. Not 45 seconds after I send that text, because I was running around just kind of, talking with people, somebody's driving by, like on 52nd, and I hear him scream, James! Jay needs you!
One of our listeners, that's funny.
I yelled, what? She yelled it a second time, and I was like, oh, no! And I ran to the car, and I threw it on, and I was like, hey, guys, I'm here. They're like, what are you doing?
Oh, that's funny.
I'm working.
Well, that was the same thing at the Eagles giveaway. You and I missed a break, and listeners came in and said, Jay's been yelling for you guys. It's like, well, we were busy talking. We can't pay attention to
everything. I've never had somebody stick their head out the window, though, and yell at me to make sure I'm doing my job properly.
Oh,
so I do appreciate
that.
No, the listeners are passionate, and I appreciate that.
That's funny. And if you haven't done so yet, go to WDAYRadioNow.com. Click on the Great Grocery Giveaway page. Get yourself registered, and then you have to listen all day long for an opportunity to get qualified. Also, Thursday, Alex from our sister station, she is going to be over at Bark and Biscuits. Go check them out, 3985 56th Street South. She's going to be there from 2 to 5 on Thursday. So if you stop in there, we'll also find two qualifiers from everybody that stops in there at Bark and Biscuits. WDAY Ag Director Bridget Riedel, she's got time for us today. She's not too busy.
Oh,
so she's
finally.
She's going to be joining us next. World Crop Health Imagery Available. Is it a good or bad idea? I don't know. But Bridget knows, and she will tell us next.
7:22, we head out to the farm with our ag director, Bridget Riedel. How you doing this morning, Bridget?
What? Who?
Huh?
What's her name?
I don't
Have
know.
You met her before?
No, I haven't seen her before. All I know is that she's a requirement for most ag get-togethers and conferences and symposiums.
Yeah,
it's like, oh, is Bridget not here? Well, then it doesn't count.
I'll keep that in mind to see if I can continue to make that as part of the things I do every day. So glad to be back. Really enjoyed time with the South Dakota Cattlemen's Leadership Academy. I learned a lot. Hope I was able to coach a lot when it comes to media training, how to go forward when you're doing work with TV, radio, newspaper, writing op-eds, and even presentation skills. Because let's face it, there are some times where you've got to double check what you're doing on that, on those slides. Nobody wants a death by PowerPoint. What should that look like? So it was a pretty great opportunity for me and hopefully for those around. I was in a packing plant Monday morning in Aberdeen, South Dakota, and that was a learning experience even for me. I mean, I've been a part of processing beef, but not on that scale where you're running 1400 head through in a day.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize they had a meat packing plant in Aberdeen. I usually think Sioux Falls and Sioux City, Iowa.
Yeah, Demcota, actually. So very nice size. They have about 900 employees. And when you stand on the catwalk above what's happening on those lines for the day, it is such a hive of activity. It's pretty impressive.
Interesting.
Learned a lot. Some other areas in which we can learn. Well, farmers we know have installed a fair amount of drain tile. Most systems here aren't terribly old that we're running in the Red River Valley. We really started to hit our stride in drain tile installments probably about 15 to 20 years ago. But it is vitally important to know where those systems are in case they're not working as well. Sometimes you can have pieces of tile or parts of the tile that have been dug up by tillage. Maybe there was something else that went through that field, whether it was, you know, I don't want to say a pipeline situation, but I think about utilities, something like that, that may have changed how your connections are on your drain tile. And if you sell that land, you need to know where things are so that the next person can find them. Interesting enough, other states have a lot more clay tile, where ours is recycled plastic. And those clay tiles only last about 50 years where they start to break down. So folks really have to know where those are in case of a collapse and you suddenly don't have the productivity in that portion of the field that you once did. Now, there is research coming out of the University of Kansas because there is a report called the Sentinel Green Report Plus, and it is a free digital tool. It integrates Google Earth Engine with some high-resolution imagery as well as the European Space Agency's satellite information, and you can use it to go look at drought information. You can literally check the status of crop in multiple states and other areas around the world. Gives you day-to-day insights into that vegetative greenness, changes in land cover, maybe even some climate abnormalities. But the concern is it being used in a revengeful way? Meaning, could someone log into that, see a field, know what the health of the field is, and introduce a pest or a problem that could eventually affect our food systems? So I don't bring this as a news story as much as I bring it as a bit of an ethical dilemma where we strive to use technology and bring good information to the public. But what if it's used against us in a very different way than we expected?
Well, I mean, that's a great kind of ethical question to bring up, Bridget, because I guess I never thought about that. You usually think about the images that you're able to see. So that way, you know, if you get that information as a farmer, you can kind of check on your fields from a greater distance, be able to do it from your headquarters, your home, whatever you want to do. But yeah, I never really thought about maybe somebody else trying to sabotage, you know, your crop. I mean, it could be just an old family rivalry. It could be someone who's trying to make a bigger profit and take a competitor out. But
go to a global scale. Think about other countries using it for sabotage.
Now, do we realistically have anything like that or any kind of stories you've ever heard of where someone is sabotaging someone else's crop to try and either, you know, gain financially themselves or just to take out a rival competitor?
Those are pretty rare instances when that happens. Sometimes that can be the case. It's similar to like cattle rustling, right?
Yeah.
Going and picking off somebody's herd. But those are pretty rare instances. There have been concerns about three Chinese nationals who were caught trying to smuggle a fusarium, which is a, we consider it fusarium head blight, which can affect wheat in this state. That was considered a threat against national security, even though we've had fusarium here in the United States for well over 100 years. Was it a different strain? Was it something that was going to try to be researched for good? I don't know the answers to all those questions because there's certainly an investigation being done. But things are changing. Our warfare is not as clear as it may have been in the past. If you think about what we watch on World War II, where you could see your enemy coming. Now there's a little bit of difference, and our food supply certainly can be a pawn in that situation. Yep. Now, on a positive side, Iowa State scientists have worked to train InsectNet with 12 million images of insects in various stages of their lives. I don't know if you're against spiders and worms, this maybe isn't the site for you, but it can identify more than 2,500 insect species from around the world with 96% accuracy. And really, of the top 50, they are the most important insects to Iowa farmers, with over 500,000 images backing their research. So there is an app, InsectNet, which is one that you can look if you're thinking, I don't know what that bug is, and I'm curious. So it's one more way to be a little investigative on your own. So today, Weather and Ag in Focus, we're going to do Wednesday weather trivia. We still have qualifiers for the grocery giveaway. And we're going to talk to the Barnes County, North Dakota weed officer. Not that weed. We're going to talk about like noxious weeds that are on the list from the State Department of Agriculture. So what does that person do? What does that mean? How do you, as a property owner, potentially get involved with noxious weed control? Well, we're going to talk about all those things and so much more again today. Weather and Ag in Focus, and we'll be doing that between 1 and 2 o'clock right here on WDAY. If you have questions in the meantime, you're curious, want to know what's going on in the world of agriculture, feel free to drop me an email, ag@flagfamily.com.
You know what's worse than noxious weeds, though, Bridget?
The obnoxious one?
Exactly.
I think that's just us.
Oh, okay, maybe. It's hard to say.
Probably.
Thank you, Bridget.
See you guys. Have a great day.
You too. WDAY Ag Director Bridget Riedel. Coming up in about 15 minutes, Brian Kronk, Managing Partner of Collins & Kronk, joins us with a market update and insight. It is 7:30. 7:32, Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki is here with a check on our cloudy forecast.
Oh, button it. All right, zip it.
I see the sun up there.
Zip it, Alice.
A little bit of sun up there. Waiting to come
back.
We'll
see more sunshine as we, a little cloudy to start off the day from the valley, from the valley eastward, but sunshine moving in from the west. So we'll see a lot of sunshine today. It's going to be a warm one, mid-80s with a west-northwest wind, 5 to 10. Down to 58 tonight, a few isolated storms, and then Thursday and Friday, we warm things up. Humidity increases with highs in the mid to upper 80s both Thursday, Friday. Storms Thursday night and Friday night. Some of those storms expected to be severe Friday night. And then the weekend looks hot, especially Saturday, with highs in the low 90s. Humidity levels will be up there. Sunday, a lot of question marks. We're going to go in the low 90s for now, depending on when that cold front hits, because if the cold front hits earlier than expected, we'll see falling temperatures throughout the day, and then low 70s back in the forecast to start off early next week. So yes, a little bit of something for everybody. We've got the humidity increasing. We've got summer heat on the weekend. That's good news. And then cooler to start off next week.
Well, you know,
so if you complain about that, just move.
All right.
This will be my last show. Yeah.
Again, a little bit of something for everybody. Yeah, we got the heat, the humidity, the cooler weather for Bonnie because,
that's right.
Oh my gosh, 85, that's hot.
It is so hot.
Oh man,
you sound like
a I'm so sick of hearing her complain.
Whatever.
Always complaining about the heat. Man, how do you deal with her on a daily basis?
I complain about the weather as well.
He doesn't listen to you because you got this bro thing going on. It's like, whatever.
Whatever, brah.
All right.
The weather is sponsored by Jiffy Lube of Fargo, locally owned and operated for over 40 years with 3 Fargo locations, and you never need an appointment. Jiffy Lube of Fargo, where you can do more in a jiffy. Time is now 7:34. We got to check on your national news. Big Game James McCarty returns with the WDAY Radio Sports Update, and then Dean will return with your 3-degree guarantee.
7:38, Big Game James McCarty is here with your WDAY Radio Sports.
Last night, the Optimus All-Star Volleyball Series concluded in Mandan with Team Blue, winning in 5 sets over Team Red. It was 25-21 each of the first two sets for the Red Squad before Team Blue wins the final three. 25-22, 25-23, and 25-11. On the diamond last night, the Twins had a... Well, they gave up four runs in the fourth inning of a 6-5 loss to the Reds in Cincinnati. They're back at it tonight at 6-10 with Bailey Ober on the mound. Coincidentally enough, the Redhawks also gave up four runs in a single inning in a 7-5 loss to the Explorers. They continue that series of Sioux City up in North Fargo at Newman Outdoor Field tonight at 7:02. And we have a Stanley Cup champion with the Florida Panthers really dominating play last night over the Oilers, 5-1 to win that series 4-2. Sam Reinhart with four goals for Florida. The state of Florida has represented the Eastern Conference for each of the last six seasons, three from the Tampa Bay Lightning, three from the Florida Panthers, and the Florida Panthers now are the first team to repeat as champions since their in-state rival in the Lightning did so 5 and 6 years ago here at this point. And no NBA Finals until tomorrow night. They'll have Game 6 in Indiana tomorrow evening, and we're still up in the air about the status of Tyrese Halliburton. I would imagine he does play. It's just a matter of what capacity he can or not. But that'll be on ABC Thursday night. We'll get to that tomorrow.
All right, 7:40, Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki will be in next with your 3-degree guarantee. And then right around 7:45, Brian Kronk, Managing Partner of Collins & Kronk, with a market update and insight. Brian Kronk, Managing Partner of Collins & Kronk, is going to be joining us shortly. But first of all, we need to get your 3-degree guarantee in with Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki. It is brought to you by the Window and Door Store. What was he calling for yesterday?
He had a high yesterday of 81 degrees. How did you do yesterday?
We hit 83. Just squeaked it in. That's a close call. But it was a nice day yesterday. Today, we're going to go a few degrees warmer. We're going to go 85 today. And we've got some clouds around this morning from the valley eastward, but increasing sunshine out west. So we'll see plenty of sunshine today, light winds. Again, a pick day today again. Humidity levels are low. It's not bad out there. Does Bonnie have a tea time today?
Nope.
Why?
Maybe should.
Hot.
Oh. Plus, she's saving up for ladies' night, golf night tomorrow night.
Tomorrow's night's going to be hot.
I know.
And even more humidity.
You got to do one. You got to take one for the team.
Yep.
You know what? I'll come along. I can't golf yet. And I'll just have a squirt bottle, and I'll spray you with a fan.
No, thanks.
I'll be your pool boy.
We don't want you at ladies' night.
Oh, I see how that works.
All right. Thank you, Dino. So today is high predicted at 85, and that is brought to you by the Window and Door Store.
7:45, Brian Kronk, Managing Partner of Collins & Kronk, joins us next with a market update and insight. 7:46, Brian Kronk, Managing Partner of Collins & Kronk, joins us now with a market update and insight. Good morning to you, Brian.
Good morning.
Mostly up days we've seen over the past week in the markets. Maybe not up by a lot, but mostly up days.
Friday and yesterday.
I know, we had some little dips.
Yeah. Oh, yes, you guys are paying attention. So,
we try.
So it's amazing. So Friday we got this big war news, and yet, we had a dip. It was a pretty severe sell-off, down 700 plus on the Dow there and kind of looking at that. But the market just shrugged that off. Monday, big rally. Tuesday, you start to look. Yesterday we saw a little bit of a dip. On Tuesday, as we started to see it toward the end of the day. But if they would have told you last week that, hey, there's going to be a huge acceleration in this war in Iran, we're going to see Israel move in with troops on the ground, and the market is just going to shrug that off, what would you have thought?
I thought that's probably a good sign as far as the market being able to shrug it off.
I wouldn't have thought it would happen because I remember when Russia invaded Ukraine, the markets took a hit then. Because war isn't good, usually, for the markets.
It is just crazy, yeah. So war, well, it's interesting. Actually, when you look, sometimes war is good for the markets. Huh. You'll see that the initial sell-off and the chaos and all of that becomes dangerous. But then they figure out how to make money off of it, and so you'll get some strong times after that. But we have since, just sort of skipped that sell-off and craziness, it seems like. And that's where I'm just impressed by this market. We have so many positive things going on. We've got an economy that's strong in spite of some of the things going on. Politically, we've got a market that's strong in spite of, the news that's going on in the world. And it's hard to explain that. I see signs of weakness out there. I see things that we need to keep our guard up for. But the fact that we just shrug this stuff off and continue to move, here's where the trouble comes in. We're at 6,000 on the S&P 500. we can't seem to get over it. Every time we get close, the sell-off comes. I don't know if the sell-off was because of the war or just because we're right at 6,000 on the S&P, but it's going to have to break one direction or the other. Mm-hmm. We just got a bunch of bad news with war and the tax bill being delayed again, and it didn't go down. And yet at the same time, you know, the fact that it shrugged off the war, it didn't break out to the upside either. So I think we're sitting right on the precipice.
So when it comes to this situation, obviously, you know, escalating between Israel and Iran, we've got some oil prices that are changing and fluctuating. There's talk this morning the U.S. is weighing its options whether or not it wants to get involved. I thought I saw something from Russia saying that basically they're siding with Iran. Obviously, so if things were to escalate and Russia and the U.S. kind of get involved on the sidelines a little bit more, is that going to have an even bigger effect then on the market? Will that cause more panic and obviously oil prices to go through the roof?
Yeah, that's what everybody's watching for. You know, what happens if we get a disruption to the oil fields? What happens if you get, you know, other people involved or other countries involved, whether it's the U.S. or Russia? I think Russia pretty much has their hands tied, but China could easily be in there meddling. Mm-hmm. They probably already are, you know, and it gets bigger in that way. You know, then what happens? And I think that's where I'm glad I don't have to make those kinds of decisions because, you know, politically, you know, Trump's going to have to figure out, do we help end this quickly or do we let this drag on? Israel's got to say, hey, we've been here long enough. When do we pull back? Whatever. So, you know, you're going to see some things that come up, but your question is a good one. How does the market react to that? And traditionally, I think all the things that you said would lead to a market sell-off. Mm-hmm. And beneath the surface right now, we started to see more and more signs of that. So we've actually raised cash in our portfolios. We've taken a lot of the profits out of just the speculative trading names. We've doubled down on our core holdings. And we're saying, hey, we want to be in those things that are a little bit more stable, just kind of going into July here. We've got, you know, this war thing now. We've got a tax bill that they kind of are playing around with. We've got, you know, the tariff deadline all coming up over the next, you know, 2-3-4 weeks. And so I want to make sure that we are in good, solid investments, that we don't have anything out there that we have any kind of question marks by, and that our core holdings are intact. And then I want a little bit of capital on the sidelines so that if we get that sell-off, we can put it to work because there's lots of names I'd like to buy if they just came down a little bit.
Interest rates hovering between 4.25%, 4.5%. We're not expecting any cut in rates today when Jerome Powell, Fed Chair, talks. We react. Where would you like to see those interest rates go down to that 2-2.5% mark again? Or?
No, I actually think interest rates are pretty good right where they're at. Okay. So I fall into that strange camp saying, you know what, we've got an economy that's doing pretty well. There's signs of it slowing. But the fact is we're still doing pretty well in spite of all the things that are going on. And you know, Trump has done a lot of things that dampen the economy with tariffs. You'd think that we'd be moving into a recession, and we're chugging along. I know he wants to preemptively have those interest rates lowered just so that we don't slow down. And, you know, that's one of those deals where, you know, the risk is that you get inflation back out there, or you just, you know, encourage speculation. And we don't want that. When we had 2% interest rates, you had people buying houses, building commercial buildings, running a Ponzi scheme with real estate right here in North Dakota that, guess what? You know, that's not good for our economy. That's not the kind of fake growth that we need. And so we want to make sure that we got economy that's chugging along, but that the price of money, that's what we're really talking about, that the price of money is set right. And I think we're pretty close to that right now.
When we look at a new survey out, home builder sentiment is dropping near pandemic lows this past month. What does that mean for the market? I mean, especially when it comes to maybe some of the companies that that you look at and you think are good companies that people should own. I mean, does home builder sentiment and the lack of building homes, does that really affect the market more so than just maybe your local just real estate if you're buying or selling houses?
Yeah, you know, that's a great question. So we look at it on the national level. We'll buy real estate and buy into trusts that own, you know, sometimes they own private homes. Sometimes we're owning the home builders themselves. And, you know, right now we're not really attached to any of that kind of stuff. On the commercial real estate side, that's where we're starting to see some movement there. And again, on the industrial side. And that makes sense when you think about the money that's committed to, you know, data centers or new factories or things of that nature. There's a lot of companies that, you know, either play in that playground or play adjacent to it, and they sell the supplies that the builders and the managers are going to need in those construction projects. And those companies are doing really well right now. So I think just the shift in building away from homes and toward the other direction. You know, it's interesting. Last week, somebody brought up the fact that we're actually seeing new supply in homes coming from people who are having to sell their Airbnbs, their second homes, their vacation homes. And that's something I've been talking about for a long time, that when the economy gets tight, we could see some homes coming onto the market, because we have more people right now in this country that own a second home than we ever have. And mostly because, not that they're using it for their vacation home, but they bought it as a rental property, yep, to Airbnb or VRBO. And so some of those are not cash flowing the way they were intended to. Mm. You know, if that was supposed to be a moneymaker and it's now costing you money, probably time to sell it.
Right.
And so that could be what's going on as well.
Mortgage rates still near 7% from what I read and what I hear and what I see. Some still think that's too high, but they should talk to the people that paid 12%. What was that in the 80s or something like that?
I remember locking in 7 and feeling pretty good. And I remember people talking about the 12s and even the high teens, you know, for bond rates and mortgage rates. And that seems crazy to me. That was obviously too high. But we seem to have a nice balance right now, and that's important.
There is a bill that has passed the Senate regarding cryptocurrency. It's a bill that would regulate stable coins, and those are the type of cryptocurrency tied to an asset, which obviously makes more sense to me rather than just whatever the market dictates it. Do you think that would maybe lead some investors, or maybe more investors, to get into cryptocurrency? I mean, obviously, I have my doubts about it. My oldest was talking to me about something about cryptocurrency, and I'm like, the only value that cryptocurrency has is what people give it, and it's not backed up by any actual assets. So if you can actually have certain coins that are backed up by assets, does that become something that maybe people would be more interested in investing in?
You know, I think so, but you know, just the more we talk about this stuff, or the more it's out there in the zeitgeist, if you will, I think that in itself gets more people invested in it. And so I always say, do your research. You know, what does that coin produce? What kind of payoff does it have? You know, I got a whole basket full of Chuck E. Cheese coins out there somewhere too.
And you still have those?
I can't figure out where I can get any value for them. And so, you know, at some point, do they become like a Chuck E. Cheese coin? You know, I don't know. Maybe they'll always have some value. But I know right now there's no value attached to most of this crypto stuff. And then even you think about the need for a stable coin. Do we need that? I've got, you know, a 50-cent piece in my pocket. That's a pretty good stable coin already.
What about the bicentennial quarter?
Well, there you go. You know, so we have lots of examples of that. I don't know that we need another one. I can move money electronically. So I haven't found a use case for some of these things that you could do that we can't already do already just as easily. So that's what I think we need to figure out.
What's your read on Trump Mobile? New wireless phone service. Is that something that might shake up the wireless service providers that are currently established?
First thing is that I figured it was something like the Mint Mobile, the Consumer Cellular, where they're using other people's towers.
They are.
You know, and so it's not like you're starting a brand new company like a T-Mobile or AT&T. A lot of these smaller companies are using their assets. So obviously, other than the people that would invest in Trump Mobile, what's the benefit, really?
Well, I don't think you can really even invest in Trump Mobile. So I'm not sure. I don't necessarily want a second-rate phone, even if it's gold. I don't want one that has Trump on it, even if I love Trump. And I don't need to. There's like how many of these things you hear it all the time, just even right on your air, Patriot Mobile and all these other ones. So I guess I don't see the need for it or the reason for it, but good for him, I guess.
But could something like
$45.47 a month, Brian?
But could something like that potentially affect, say, the stocks in Verizon, AT&T, and stuff along that line?
Well, I don't think it can even have a negative impact there. So you think about it. I mean, somewhere else, like a prepaid calling card. You know, you go to. You know, we could do that. We could have, you know, Bonnie and Friends Mobile.
There you go.
Let me write this down, Ryan. So many chunks of time from Verizon, and then we resell them. And so, you know, all that says is that, you know, Verizon must have, or T-Mobile must have, you know, plenty of excess capacity if they can sell it, you know, to Trump for less than $45 a month, and they can still make a profit on it. But yeah, I think that it's just a weird part of the world that we're in when we think about those companies.
All right, Brian, how do our listeners find you?
It's super easy. We're at collinsandcronk.com, or just give us a call. We're at 235-0119. Happy to talk with you.
All right, we'll catch you next week.
Hey, thanks for having me.
You bet. Brian Cronk, managing partner of Collins and Cronk, joins us in studio every Wednesday at 7:45 right here on Bonnie and Friends. It's 7:58. We're going to head into the WDAY Radio News Center coming up in a couple of minutes. 8:01, we are WDAY Fargo. 8:03, Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki has arrived with a check on your forecast.
And it looks like an improving forecast. We're starting off with some clouds this morning, but if you look west,
you see nothing but blue sky. And that's where our weather is coming in from. So we'll see increasing sunshine for the rest of the afternoon. And we're looking at highs today in the mid-80s. Not a bad one with west-northwest winds on the light side. A few isolated storms tonight, upper 50s. And tomorrow, we'll see a slow increase in the humidity with mid to upper 80s. Another round of storms Thursday night, and then you'll feel the humidity on Friday. And with that increasing humidity Friday and highs in the upper 80s, we're going to see a round of storms Friday night, and some of those could be on the severe side. We'll keep a close eye on those. But the weekend looks dry and summer-like with highs in the 90s on Saturday. We're going to go for the low 90s on Sunday, but we may see falling temperatures in the afternoon as a cold front hits. And then cooler weather to start off next week with highs only in the lower 70s. So we got 70s, 80s, and 90s in the forecast.
And all the best hits of today.
Hey, I'm Casey Kasem.
Something for everybody.
He's not still around. He passed.
Okay. Where you been?
Those were the days. Yeah.
But you can still hear Casey Kasem's Top 40.
Does he still have the recorded
Seacrest
ones?
Does it, but you can hear recorded ones.
Okay.
Yeah, you can.
He was an icon.
He was awesome.
A long
growing
distance
up,
request and dedication.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, he was great. 8:05, we're going to get your national news in now from ABC. Then Big Game James McCarty is in with your WDAY Radio Sports. 8:09, Big Game James McCarty is here with your WDAY Radio Sports.
No more hockey. Well, at least for the next week or so. Yeah, the Stanley Cup final went official last night. 5-1 Panthers over the Oilers in Sunrise, Florida. The Panthers winning that series 4-2. Repeating as Stanley Cup champs, the NHL draft will be about a week from now. This next weekend. And so that's really the only hockey you're going to get from the Wild up until right after Labor Day at this point now.
Oh, is that when training camp opens?
Yeah, training camp should open right about that time.
That'll be here before you
early
know it,
to middle September, kind of how the Wolves and the Force and all of them go as well.
Yep.
On the hardwood last night, the Minnesota Lynx, they had a tough first half. They were trailing 9 at the half to Las Vegas. They were at home, though, at the Target Center. They kicked it in again in the second half, outscoring Vegas 46-23, 20 points from Courtney Williams, a dozen points apiece off the bench from both Natisha Heidemann and Diamond Miller. So we're starting to see a little bit of action out of her. She had that in, I believe it was 14 minutes of action. And Nafisa Collier struggled. She only had 7 points on 3 of 9 shooting. So the role players really picked it up for Nafisa last night, which is tremendous to see.
They needed to because I believe Asia Wilson, one of the star players for the Aces, is out with an injury. So that's a game you have to win. It also drops Becky Hammon and her Las Vegas Aces to 5-6 on the air.
Well,
which
they traded away Kelsey Plum this offseason, remember.
Right,
so she's in L.A., which coincidentally enough, the Lynx will be hosting on Saturday, the Sparks. So they'll still get Kelsey Plum a handful of times a year, 7 p.m. on Saturday night. That's nationally televised, though, on NBA TV, so that'll be pretty darn cool to see that for the Lady Lynx, who are 11-1 in the season here now. On the Diamond last night, you saw the Men's College World Series, a couple of teams get knocked out. Louisville walking off Oregon State 7-6, and then Arkansas takes down UCLA 7-3. That sets up, really the final four of the College World Series. Coastal Carolina and Louisville at 1 today on ESPN, and then LSU and Arkansas at 6 p.m. tonight. If Coastal Carolina wins their game, they're in the championship series. If Louisville wins, it sets up an elimination game on Thursday. Same in the other series. If LSU wins, they're in the championship series. If Arkansas wins, it sets up an elimination game and a rematch tomorrow afternoon as well. Twins and Redhawks both giving up 4-run innings in losses last night. The Twins fall 6-5 on the road in Cincy to the Reds. They return to the Diamond tonight at 6:10 with Bailey Ober on the mound. And the Redhawks and their 4-run inning they gave up, they fall 7-5 to the Sioux City Explorers. They continue game 2 of their 3-game set up at Newman Outdoor Field at 7:02 tonight against the X's in that one. And running out sports here this hour, the Optimist All-Star Volleyball Series concluded with Team Blue pulling off a improbable 5-set victory last night. It was the first 2 sets going the way of Team Red before Team Blue would win sets 3-4, and then the fifth one, 15-11, to split the series this summer. And primetime sports tonight at 6:30. Jason, I'll get you ready to rock and roll on a hump day. Well, I guess that wrap it up, actually. It'll be at 6:30 at night. We're wrapping up hump day at that point.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Put a wrap on it.
Mike, 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 Mike. You know what day it is? Humpty.
This probably was out when Jimmy was like 2 or 3 years old.
Pretty much.
I was older than that.
Every time we would, for the longest time until probably last fall, every time it was Wednesday, he had to do that. He'd be like, you know what day it is?
I'm like, I did it until he stopped showing up to work for an extended period of time.
I'm like, don't even start. And he would just, he'd have to do it.
That's
I had to.
James is
like, tradition.
We like to do dumb stuff. So
we entertain.
If you like to do a weird thing, well, this is kind of weird, but it's not really weird.
What are you trying to say about
funky,
us?
Funky, weird, just hokey things.
if you like to do weird things, James.
Well, he does.
It is kind of interesting how I just get roped in immediately.
So there is a flower that smells like rotting flesh. It's called the corpse flower.
Oh, fantastic.
And it only blooms, I don't know if it even blooms once a year, or if it's once every 10 years or whatever, but they have one once every, 7 to 10 years, corpse flower blooms. But they have one at the Como Park Zoo's conservatory, and it's ready to bloom.
Of course they do. Of course.
I wouldn't, like, go make a special trip to do that, but some people would. But if I happen to be in the cities and I happen to think I need to go to the zoo, then why wouldn't I want to go smell the death flower?
I personally...
It's really gross, I guess.
I don't
find
like
that appealing.
That's when the milk is spoiled and I go, oh, this smells bad. James, smell this. That's what
that
is.
Yeah. I'll go back to the Como Zoo, but I will not be smelling a death flower. That doesn't seem...
I would do it if I was there. His name is Frederick. They name it.
They name the flower?
Yeah, a couple years ago. The
flower's named Freddy?
Yeah, when they had the last one, its name was Horace. Like Horace the town, Horace North.
So what, they just replace it every time it blooms or what?
Yeah, they give it a new name. But it only blooms like every 7 to 10 years. So it's a big deal. Like people come from all over to go see that and smell that. Doesn't last long either. Only lasts for about 2 days, so you got to get there quick.
So you're telling me people are like flying across the country for stuff like this?
Yeah.
They get a red-eye flight the next morning because they heard it bloomed?
The scent can even...
Imagine missing that after a red-eye.
2 days or less, it's been compared to rotting dead flesh, rotting fish, whatever you want to...
Just want to have a bunch of those in my backyard.
Probably don't want to eat your lunch. Like, don't pack a brown bag and eat your lunch.
Sit next to the flower and just like, this smells delicious.
It's huge, too. It's like a really tall flower. I don't know. That'd be kind of fun to do, I guess. Who buys a lottery ticket and like doesn't scratch it and they forget about it?
Somebody who doesn't really
care. I don't
care.
Forget about it. Somebody that thinks those they're not going to hardly make it back to the vehicle.
Exactly.
When I do it, it's pretty seldom at this point. Actually.
A guy in Maryland cleaning out his car found a Powerball ticket that he bought, decides to finally check his number.
I can barely get myself to wait past the drawing time just to see if I've won because I figure if I wait till the next day and kind of pretend that I forgot about it and I'll be pleasantly surprised when I become a millionaire. Yeah. But it never works.
So he's cleaning out his car a couple weeks later when he came across it, checks the numbers, and he wins 50 grand. You had 50 grand just sitting there. You've got so much money, you don't even care about your money, dude.
So the Powerball itself, right, where you have to go look up the numbers, I think that's a little bit different.
Than the scratch one.
Than the scratch off.
Yeah, the scratch one.
Because the scratch one, it's in your hand right away, whereas like the Powerball, the Mega Millions and whatnot,
you
buy them and you might have a 2-3-4 day delay before the next drawing. And, you put it in your cup holder, you put it in your center console, whichever, and you get sidetracked with life.
I guess, yeah.
And I could see, for a week or two missing.
Well, he said he's going to put it into his savings, so he needed the money. I don't know how this happens, but we have heard stories over the years of, and I don't know if Google Maps was involved here, but sometimes dum-dums will legitimately follow where their map tells them and then they end up in a lake or something like that. Have you heard stories like that before? Mm-hmm. It's happened a number of times.
Oh, yeah.
Over in Rome, and like I said, I don't know if Google Maps was involved or why this happened or if he was confused, an 80-year-old man drove a compact luxury Mercedes-Benz A-Class sedan down the landmark Spanish Steps of Rome before getting stuck partway down.
Maybe we should reenact one of those movie scenes where they drive down the stairs like that.
I kind
of wonder. It's in a car chase,
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, you've seen, Mark Wahlberg do that in the Italian Job or whatever, and they're just got little Mini Coopers.
Well, maybe. I don't. Maybe he got confused. They say he wasn't drunk. They tested him for alcohol. They cited him.
I'm not drunk. I'm just old.
They say he's from Rome, too, so he should know better. He was
Maybe he didn't care. You're thinking about that?
He couldn't explain how he wound up driving down the famed stairs.
I was just following directions around the place.
Nowhere.
They had to use a crane. Firefighters had to use a crane to remove the car.
Uh-oh.
I guess.
He just didn't want to walk down all those stairs.
Does the insurance company cover that?
And it's not even clear if it's his car, if it was a rental, or if he whose car it is. They
did
don't
he
say.
Steal it?
I don't know.
Is he a long time? Take the $22 insurance policy for the day for the rental?
Was he a long-term criminal, and he just plays dumb like he's some old guy? Maybe he's got hyper-realistic masks on.
You know, criminals get older, too.
I know, they do.
Interesting.
In 2022, a Saudi man was charged with aggravated damage to a cultural heritage after a camera caught him driving a rented Maserati down those same steps going 100. There's 130. I was trying to read this.
They're going 130 miles an hour?
Well, it was a Maserati, yeah. So it wasn't. But no, he drove the rented Maserati down the 135 travertine steps. I don't know what that means.
I don't know.
They're like
fancy.
Cement.
You know, ancient Romans kind of, steps.
These steps, you don't want them damaged. They were built in the 1700s.
Mm-hmm. I just thought it'd be cool to drive down it.
Well, that guy with the Maserati a couple years ago was an idiot. The 80-year-old, maybe he got confused. Like I don't know. They don't mention.
He's like, I don't need GPS. I know where I'm going. He takes a wrong turn.
MapQuest failed me.
Down the steps.
Some do that, but I wonder if if the guy that did it most recently, if he loses that car. Like, I wonder if he gets it back.
The Maserati?
The Mercedes-Benz. The Maserati, I don't know what
the Mercedes-Benz, I guess it depends on if it's his or not.
Don't know. I don't know how they handle things over there. $100 million in gold, diamonds, rubies, emeralds stolen in the largest U.S. jewelry heist.
Weren't they? They were caught, right?
Yep. They're from the Los Angeles area. All of them were caught. There's seven of them.
Thieves.
Yep. Federal prosecutors say it is the largest jewelry heist in U.S. history.
Do you remember what Dane Cook said?
But if they got caught, how was it? It doesn't sound very successful.
It's not a very good heist.
Yeah, okay. No, it wasn't. It's more. Wouldn't that be more of an attempt?
Yeah, that's true. An attempt.
It's the largest
heist.
Attempted heist.
Yeah, exactly. No, Dane Cook said is like one thing I want to do in life. I want to be a part of a heist. Mm. And have that new guy that's part of the team. It's like, you know, I don't trust the new guy. It's like he's cool and he's solid.
Even if you like go with a note and you like don't even get away with anything, you're looking at federal prison time. These
Absolutely.
Guys are looking at a long time. I guess it stretches back to.
Didn't they steal it from an armored vehicle or something?
2022.
Yeah.
Okay. One of the guys scouted an international jewelry store south of San Francisco. 2 days later, you're right. He and several friends followed a Brinks semi with 73 bags containing millions of dollars in jewelry from San Mateo.
San Mateo, yeah.
To rest stops.
Did they steal the whole semi-truck then?
3 days later, they stole money from the bags. It looks like they kind of like cased the semi and followed it at rest stops. So they must have break in at the... It doesn't say, the indictment doesn't say how they are believed to have gained access to the truck.
But this was a semi, though, huh?
Yeah.
I mean, so instead of having your normal armored truck, this is some type of special trailer, I suppose?
I've never seen a Brink semi.
Neither have I. That's why I'm kind of curious. I wonder what they did. Unless it's just kind of like not labeled, and they knew it was a Brink's truck, so it goes like incognito throughout their driving to whatever bank or
They did their
museum.
Homework, sort of, I guess. Yeah. It says something about they also shut off their phones, too, to try to... They deactivated their phones they were using to communicate about the heist and the days that followed.
Yep. Get rid of the GPS, get rid of the data, kind of... They probably used, homing pigeons or whatever.
Burner phones.
Maybe that... Well, normally they'll do that, but if you use pigeons, there's no digital trace.
Maybe they used the tin can phones.
Yeah, with the
string.
Give me... We're gonna rob the place tonight. Can you hear me? Make sure you tell me you heard this. Over.
You think that does that work if you like close the car door on it? You know, that's what I'm wondering. Like from one room to the next.
No, because I'm in my room and the window's right there and it goes right across into the other house right next to like the little kids used to do.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
That's why it's so cool.
First I ever seen that was
Jimmy,
grown-ups.
Jimmy, you got a copy over there?
And then walkie-talkies came along, so we had little walkie-talkies at the campground. Mm-hmm. These guys, this was like their job. This was their career, apparently.
It was only a one-time job, though.
They were also accused of stealing hundreds of thousands of dollars of Samsung electronics from interstate cargo shipments.
Mm, so this was a reoccurring thing
and
that they did.
And nearly $60,000 in Apple AirTags.
Mm.
All
they had to do was turn those red tags on. You'd be able to find out that they're there.
What did you do today? I stole trackers.
Yeah.
Got a bunch of Apple.
How do they find you? They tracked him.
I turned one of them on.
How much time did they waste trying to plot how to steal? Like, go get a job.
They
get
probably watched one too many heist movies. Like, you know what? We should do this, bro.
They probably did, yeah.
Maybe. That didn't work.
This
would totally work. They'd never suspect us.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's because you guys are eating pizzas and smoking pot in Berkeley.
Maybe. They're all busted.
That seems like a very targeted comment there.
It is a very targeted one. Berkeley. Hippies.
I feel similar about it.
You have to get some Birkenstocks.
Yeah, I know.
Five charges, conspiracy to interfere with commerce by robbery, interference with commerce by robbery. Two expected to appear in federal court in Arizona. One's facing a burglary charge. Maybe he's the guy that broke into the trucks.
Could be. I mean, you would think that they could definitely get the burglary charge to stick on someone that actually broke into the vehicle and then stole this stuff. And then obviously everybody else's accomplices.
I don't know why, but it seems exciting when you talk about the largest ever. So the largest U.S. jewelry heist ever. Some of the jewelry has been returned, they say.
I can't wait for Kevin Hart and Dwayne The Rock Johnson to star in the movie adaptation of this.
Based on a true story.
Based on a true story. The largest diamond heist in U.S. history.
Yeah. Rubies.
By The Rock. Starring Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Come on, Kevin, we got to go.
Which means it'll be hokey.
And his little buddy.
Duh. I mean, they got caught, Bonnie. It can't have a happy ending.
Well, that's true, too. Probably good actors who do that. Oh, Flatland Music Flashback. That's going to be coming your way tomorrow morning, right around 6:56. Tomorrow, we will be showcasing, the Four Tops. Edgar Winter, Motley Crue, Prince, and Amy Winehouse.
Another Motley Crue. All right.
There you go. We'll tell you why we'll be talking about them tomorrow. Flatland Music Flashback, brought to you by Flatland Guitar in Fargo, a music store dedicated and built around quality guitar repairs. Again, 6:56 each and every morning on Bonnie and Friends, we bring you Flatland Music Flashback. 8:25, time now to get to the American Ag Network.
You know what?
What?
You got to get up to get down.
You do.
Yeah.
Get up and get down, get groovy.
Last segment here on Bonnie and Friends this morning. Jason alongside Bonnie Amasati.
Do you remember earlier this year we talked about Larry the Twitter logo, the big bird that was on their building in San Francisco headquarters?
His name was Larry?
Yeah. 12 feet tall, 560-pound Twitter logo named Larry.
Yeah.
He was auctioned off. Somebody paid $34,000 for Larry.
You spent $34,000 for that?
That's kind of cool. I mean, like if I had 34 grand, maybe.
How much money do they have to be able to just be like, you know what? I want the giant Twitter logo from outside the building.
Well, apparently a lot. And it's not like just an individual. We know who bought it now, what became of the sign.
Is there a company that has a name that's related to a bird?
It's an online marketplace app. And what they did with Larry, they took him to the desert and they blew him up.
Oh, that's that story.
It was part of an elaborate stunt to promote an online marketplace app.
So they bought it and then they just destroyed it? That seems kind of dumb.
Larry, the blue Twitter bird, was known to former employees, met an end that mirrors the death of the social media platform it once represented, an explosive, expensive spectacle that leaves you wondering what exactly was the point of it all.
That's very true.
Ditch It is a startup hoping to compete with services like Facebook, Marketplace, and others.
eBay?
Yeah, the chance to own and then blow up a piece of social media history, they say, was a unique opportunity.
I still call it Twitter. I don't care what anybody says.
Ditch It attempts to draw some parallels between Elon Musk's takeover of Twitter and its own startup ambitions. Okay, whatever.
We just blowed it up.
Yeah, there you go. All right, time for us to get out of here.
All right, you betcha.
Bonnie and friends, we will be back tomorrow morning at 5 o'clock. Have yourselves a great day. Stay tuned. The Coffee Club with Janae and Ronnie. That's going to be coming up next.